much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, it's Friday. Wait, I'm Rodney. You're Friday. Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, winding down another week of great flashback. Well, that's Richard's show. Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Good morning. Can you make it through Friday?
It's Friday. Bingo play on the highway. Everybody's looking forward to your silence.
Thank God it's Friday.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Attention, radio listeners.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Hey, you guys let me know if this ever airs.
Just like the other one.
Everything's gonna be okay, right?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yeah, I'm a mess.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's Casual Friday.
Roll another one.
Vagina dentata.
Just like the other one.
Cincinnati bow tie.
This one seems to be about to end.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
I don't have another cent.
I'm Asian. Our eyes don't open quite the same as the rest of
them.
Charge is absolutely not true.
Just pass it around.
Time to release the Kraken.
What's the
matter? You smell something?
I just pass it on down.
And now, Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Did you see the memo about this?
Our feature presentation.
I don't know, but I just saw a beer mug over on his knees in front of Lisa.
Whoa,
that is how you start a Friday morning.
Like, wow.
Oh, is that what you think, Bean?
I thought. That's fantastic.
Well, beer mug is relatively new, so yeah. He has to pay his dues.
That's right.
To pay your dues. Yeah,
at 10 years, Mugs, you switch.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Exactly.
First 10 years, you do her. She owes you one. That's how that works. So jealous, by the way. Beer Mug told me he's going to a 100-year-old's birthday party over the weekend.
Wow, is that going to suck?
No, it's going to be awesome.
Are you kidding me?
The guy's great.
It depends on the 100-year-old. If the guy's great, then it's different.
I was telling Bean, the guy used to play football when the helmets were leather.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
How do you know him? Grandparent or something?
A family friend.
Wow.
Just going to gun food?
Is he still pretty sharp?
Yeah.
Well, he does know how to hold a conversation. He's not very, you know, energetic as he once was.
Well, then it's not going to be fun.
No, he's cool. He's cool.
Okay. Well, how cool, how much fun can he be if he doesn't talk?
No, he talks.
He just sits there and he's cool.
You could ask him about things and he'll tell you. And
you just said he can't have a conversation.
No, he's not as energetic as he once was. He's not as spry.
Right, of course, because
he's
100.
But that has nothing to do with not having a conversation, Beer Bugs. Those are two completely different things.
Well, what did
I say? Does he have a conversation? You said he can't hold a conversation.
No, he can't. I'm sorry. I thought I said he can hold a conversation. He
can
hold a conversation. Can.
Oh, well, that's all the difference in the world then.
Yeah.
I think he's sharper than you are at this point.
Yeah.
I think we should be asking him about the party. He'd have better details than you do. All right. Before we move on to today's action-packed Kevin and Bean show, you're going to love this story. Lisa, you probably have already heard about this, but there's a train that runs from Los Angeles to Seattle every time. I think it runs once a day. And a woman gets on board in Oakland and proceeds to start talking on her cell phone. Now, she's in the quiet car on the train, okay?
Yes.
The quiet car is don't talk on your phone?
Yeah, the quiet car is don't play your music, don't talk on your phone, don't have loud video games. The quiet car is for people who just, they want to sleep,
That's
perhaps.
Where the 100-year-old sits.
Quiet car.
Maybe it is.
All right.
So she starts talking on her phone, and you know, people give her the stink eye, and then she keeps talking on her phone. She's pretty loud, and she's pretty annoying, she's pretty obnoxious, and she's pretty oblivious to the fact that there are other passengers there who really don't care about her business. And passengers go up and they say, hey, what up? And she says, hey, mind your own business. And she keeps talking on her phone. She keeps talking on her phone. Well, kids, she talks on her phone for 16 hours on and off.
What?
And finally, somebody on board the train, you know, complains to the conductor, and they alert the police, and they pull into an unscheduled stop where police meet her and arrest her. Take her away. Arrest her.
What's the charge?
Disorderly conduct.
Excessive phone use.
Disorderly conduct is why. She told the television station, by the way, that she felt disrespected and didn't understand why she had to be escorted away, even though she'd been on the phone for 16 hours and was extremely rude to people who came up to her and said, hey, this is a quiet car. Please don't talk on your cell phone.
She was still shocked and outraged that this happened.
Lakeisha Beard is the blabbermouth involved here, but imagine her surprise when she gets, they pull over and the police show up and arrest her and take her off to jail.
I mean, love that so much.
How happy are you to hear that, though?
But 16 hours, I mean, who's got that kind of patience?
Who has
a
that
half
much to...
hour in, I'm taking the phone away.
Yeah, seriously.
You mean you're physically throwing it to the ground if you
Not
have to get
purpose.
That phone out of her?
Not on purpose. I swing and hit it and go, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, and kick it out the door.
I can't imagine having 16 hours of conversation in me, you know, no matter how many different people I call. Like, how tired would you be of being on the phone?
Oh, I don't talk on the phone for 16 hours in a year.
And why not sleep instead, right?
Yeah.
Oh. But in case you're wondering, by the way, hey, what kind of magic cell phone does she have? They apparently have charging stations on these trains where you can charge up your stuff on the, you know, while you're.
That's step one transit. Is turn that right off.
Yeah, in the quiet car, no charging stations.
Sorry, it's turned off. Right. Nothing you can do.
You know, the thing that kills me is that she doesn't understand.
I think she does. She's one
of those people who will never understand. She just thinks she should be able to do whatever she wants to do. And
because repeatedly, people came up to her and asked her to get off the phone. And if she understood, she would at least at some point, two or three requests in, she would have thought, oh, baby, this isn't any fun for everybody else.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is no everybody else in her mind.
No, and there never will be.
Yeah. She doesn't say in the theater, and we all know people like that.
Imagine the applause.
Yeah.
When they escorted her off the train. Imagine how happy you'd be to have that woman gone if you'd been listening to her talk all day.
And then, like, 5 minutes later, while they're back on the train, they're going, wow, I kind of missed the noise. Let's go back and get her.
That's an amazing story.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It could be worse, but I'm not sure how.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday. Ralph will tell you about all the new movies in the theater, including the movie that Beer Mug went to for the red. It was a black carpet.
Black carpet? Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yep.
Oh.
And, Mugs really scored some interviews.
I mean, this is excellent.
You guys are really going to be happy with this.
You sit down with Johnny Depp?
Yeah, oh yeah, hard hitting.
Oh, Johnny great. Depp. I can't wait.
If you had 24 hours to live,
which you do,
how would you use it? We talked to that.
Well, I just did it this morning. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got a couple more times before tomorrow, though,
sure,
Lisa.
But I think I got it off to a good start.
We talked to the wacko that runs the church that says it's all going to start, the rapture is going to end tomorrow, or start tomorrow. So that's we got that to look forward to.
Guys, a serious question now. Just like when on New Year's Eve, when you see the celebration come into this, you know, the Sydney Harbor many, many hours before it's midnight our time, aren't we going to know much earlier than 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, West Coast time, if the world is ending, if it's going to be local time in that part of the world?
I don't think that's the way it works, Bean.
Here's what I'd like to suggest. Since the world's not ending, I don't think we need to figure out when we'll know.
I'm planning ahead. I've got a sheep shearing appointment tomorrow. I'm wondering if I should cancel.
Cancel that. Go ahead and
just
cancel.
Just because.
That. We're going to talk to our friend Dr. Mo, who is a real doctor, about Dave the King of Mexico and his problem with falling asleep at movies.
He fell asleep in life.
He fell asleep at the Pirates of the Caribbean, which was IMAX and 3D. And Ralph said loud enough that it shook the chairs. So that takes some dedication. Dave's one of those guys who can literally just crawl up in a ball you know, anywhere in a corner, on a chair, and he'll be asleep in 2 to 3 seconds.
Except, he's fallen asleep at weddings, at strip clubs. I mean, it's insane. Who falls asleep at a strip club?
Well.
That is amazing.
Really only him. I mean, honestly, I've never heard of another person that has fallen asleep at a strip club. If you're falling asleep at a strip club, you've got problems.
Is the only place he doesn't fall asleep at home at night?
Probably.
Is that the deal?
Maybe so. Probably, yeah. Maybe he's like Muggs, the only sleep he ever gets, you know, he never gets sleep where he's supposed to. And Muggs, you know, never gets food outside of here. He can only eat at work. Maybe it's that sort of a deal.
Plus, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Very excited about that. That's going to be a good one. And we've got tickets to the Weenie Roast. So that's all coming up. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:49.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday, the day before the end of the world, which seems like it's a little late to introduce the technology where they can tell you how long you're going to live. We're going to be talking about that coming up after the top of the hour. Science is a blood test now that will tell you how long you're going to live. Now, how does this help us if we're all going to die tomorrow?
It makes it easy for the scientists. They look at everybody's blood and go, tomorrow, you're going to die tomorrow. Look how good we are.
100%.
100%.
Rate.
We're going to tell you tomorrow is the day you die. See?
That's an excellent point. They cash the check and then move on. That's right.
Why are we playing all kinds of end of the world music today?
It does seem like today's
the
day.
Party? Why are we singing End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M.?
Yeah.
And Don't They Know It's the End of the World by some other band that did it?
Skeeter Davis.
Yeah.
Right?
Hermits.
The second one you mentioned, I'm already out.
That's right.
You don't have that many good songs about the end of the world.
No, I bet we could find some. Let's try.
I bet we could.
Let's try.
No, the question is not can we find
end
some.
End of the World Party. Come on, dude. Woo!
Can we find some
Woo!
That are good? Is a different question.
We should have done the party machine today.
Absolutely, we should.
We should have blown it out.
How much can Mr. Weatherby be upset of us if he's dead?
Exactly.
Good point.
Should have had some sort of a naked pool party, something. We should have really gone for it. But even at the end of the world, we're still too lazy to make that happen. All right, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Now, Ralph Garman joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
I remember when I was a younger man in high school. There was I don't know how often this happens, but it made a big deal of the fact that the planets were aligning, that there was going to be the sun. And then, I don't know, what's it, Mercury, I guess, is closest to the sun.
Uh-huh.
And all the way up, but all the planets were going to be aligned.
And what did that mean? It was bad?
And they said the gravitational pull of all those planets in a line, it's the first time they had lined up in I don't know how many years, was going to cause catastrophic flooding and earthquakes, and it was the end of the world as
right,
we know it.
Right, dude.
And it was like on a Wednesday or something.
Mm-hmm.
So my friends and I all in high school said, F it, let's get as much beer and booze and what have you as we can, and we're just going to rock it out.
I like that attitude.
So Tuesday night, we just pound, and it's midnight, and we're out in the park, and we're loaded, and woo! It's goodbye, everybody! And then Wednesday came around, and we all had to get up for school the next morning, and I remember we had some meeting for some club or something early before school, and we all trucked in. And bloodshot eyes, and guys were like dry heaving in the parking lot and retching.
Man.
It was the most hungover I'd ever been.
You wanted the world to end.
We
that
truly did. Yeah. And I don't believe any of these jackholes anymore because they've already burned me once. I'm not falling for it again.
Yeah, there's a guy every day saying the world's going to end. So
yeah, every time I hear the end of the world, I always think of that dry heaving in the parking lot outside my high school.
Because you were thinking, look, even if we don't die, there's going to be such mass hysteria with earthquakes and flooding all over
we'll
the world. There certainly
in.
Isn't going to be school. Right.
Right, we'll sleep in at least.
Sure.
Sleep this hangover off.
No such luck. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. This is sad. Jeff Conaway from Celebrity Rehab, of course, from Greece. He was Kinnicky in Greece. He had a very successful run on television in Taxi. Hospitalized due to an overdose on pain meds this week, and things are now much worse than they initially sounded. Mm. He is virtually comatose, according to CNN.
Wow.
Doctors say there are no indication that there will be any sort of recovery, and these may be, in fact, his final hours. But
that might be okay for him.
I sure didn't see any way out.
You know, didn't you get the idea when
he was
suffering for a long time?
He was on Celebrity Rehab and you just thought, no way, screwed up, he's miserable every day.
He was emotionally wrecked and physically wrecked and he was struggling. Yeah, so. You don't see death for anyone, but he didn't seem like he could have come back.
He wasn't going to turn it around.
Because his back pain, apparently that was genuine on top of all the other issues. So even if he had gotten clean, he would have been, you know, more or less crippled for the rest of his life. So, sad stuff.
We have to chalk another one up for Dr. Drew, too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think that's his fault.
I think Drew kicked him in the back when he was there. I think he did. In a big roundhouse kick to the spine.
I don't think so.
You weren't there.
Maybe I was.
Maybe you were. Maybe you should be, more importantly. Congratulations to Track Palin.
Who?
Track.
Track?
That's right.
T-R-A-C-K?
Yes, Kevin.
Track?
Track Palin.
Okay. I don't Come on, even Kevin, know where you been?
What that is.
The eldest of the Palin children.
Okay.
He and his high school sweetheart, Britta Hansen, got married. They're 22 and 21 years old, so good luck.
Track and Britta?
To Track and Britta. You know, the Track kids, Track and Trig and Trip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the Palin kids, Track. What kind of name is that for a human being?
That's a terrible name for a dog.
Stupid. Track. It's a bad name for a track.
Wow.
Track. Bristol Palin, by the way, didn't just have corrective surgery. A plastic surgeon is now speaking out saying, yes, she did indeed have extra chin work done when she had her jaw realigned, despite what she says. She said it was purely for medical reasons.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if you've seen her new face.
I have not. No.
I haven't either.
You haven't seen Bristol's new face? You gotta look it up online. She is, it's remarkably different.
Better or different?
Hard to say.
Different.
Yeah.
They took, there's a ton of liposuction done. Obviously, they thinned her face out, and it looks like they built her an additional chin port. I think that's the actual medical term for it, the chin port.
Chin port?
And she looks very, very different, but she claims it was for medical reasons.
Look, if I'm going in for medical reasons and I can fix something at the same time, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, well, people are questioning how serious her condition was that she had to have realignment surgery done on her jaw. I think it was for medical reasons because her old face made people sick. So there was for health reasons, other people's health, not hers, no. Oh, this Schwarzenegger story just keeps on giving, keeps on giving. You know, Arnold bought Patty, his housekeeper, a home in Bakersfield worth over $300,000, according to journalists.
And then she said, wait a minute, it's in Bakersfield?
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe he was trying to find what's the furthest possible way I can get her away from my home.
Go away from here.
And that is good thinking for our fine Bakersfield affiliate and our listeners, though, Kevin. I meant, wait, Bakersfield?
Woo!
Awesome.
Bakersfield!
Did I not deliver that well, Bean?
No, I think you...
I was excited.
I think your intent was belied by your delivery.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize for the delivery. That's a great place to live.
And Arnold only confessed his affair to Maria after Maria confronted the housekeeper about it.
Ew. Oh.
So it wasn't like Arnold finally got, a pang of conscience and had to go to his wife and say, look, there's something I have to tell you. Apparently, Maria was suspicious, had been suspicious for years... Finally confronted the housekeeper, who lied to Maria's face, but then went back to Arnold and said, she knows she keeps grilling me. She keeps saying something.
She looked at the kid.
Yeah, that's true. You look at the kid.
All you have to do.
He does look like Arnold. Meanwhile, Arnold has announced that he is putting his acting career on hold. His agents have told producers of all his various movie projects that have been in the works that they should stop planning until further notice, because Arnold's going to step out of the limelight for a while. Hmm. See, so every cloud has a silver lining, people. Don't let people tell you otherwise.
He had a bunch of stuff lined up, right? Yeah. At least tentatively, right?
Three films that I know of were in the pipeline for him to work on, so. No work for our boy.
Huh. Is he our boy?
We boys.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And, Kevin, I know you were upset. Haley Reinhardt was voted off of American Idol last night.
Oh, Haley, yeah. He was great.
It's a she.
She was
it's
great.
A she. And actually, she was the hottest of the remainders. Oh. She was a sexy little blonde-haired minx who gave it up.
Who gives it, damn? And there's no question that Steven Tyler has already had sex with her since she was voted off. Like, he's had his eye on her since the audition.
Yeah, she's a tasty little biscuit.
At least Steven Tyler can hide it when he's got his eye on someone. At least he's not overt.
No, you know? He's very subtle about his advances.
Sure.
All we have left now is Scott McCreery and Lauren Alania, who are both country mother effers, and so F country and F everyone who likes country who voted for these two country Fs.
That isn't good for you.
And that's what we got left in American Idol. Country BS effers.
Wow.
I don't know if you're getting my intent here with my delivery or not, but I don't like country music.
You don't like country.
I do
you're
not.
Pleased with the genres that we'll be hearing much more of next week.
Do not like country music.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Joe Cocker celebrates his 67th birthday today. Singer-actress Cher turned 65. Jane Wiedlin, guitarist for the...
Cher was 65 when I was born.
Stop it. She was not. Jane Wiedlin of the Go-Go's is 53 years old. Bronson Pinchot.
That's not sexy. That's animal.
Beverly Hills
Cop?
Is
he the banana in the tailpipe?
No, that was Eddie. That was Eddie's routine. Right.
Banana tailpipe.
But Bronson Pinchot was the Serge.
That's not sexy. Yes, look at how crispy chest hairs you have coming out.
And he was also Balky on Perfect Strangers. Remember that TV series?
You remember Perfect Strangers.
I remember it existed. I didn't watch it.
You loved it.
I didn't watch
you
it.
You did. You loved it.
I didn't love it.
It's great about Kevin. You just tell him he did stuff. And
right,
he's
I loved
not,
it.
He's not positive. He's not sure. He may have loved it. You don't know.
I loved
Kevin,
it.
Kevin, you wrote it.
I love that.
Timothy Oliphant, very talented actor, is on Justified now over there on FX. He's 43. And Busta Rhymes, yo.
Yeah.
Busta Rhymes celebrates his 39th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Weenie Roast Fast approaching, by the way, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Completely sold out thanks to you. And thanks to those of you who didn't buy tickets, we're still giving them away. And you have a chance to win them coming up. We'll tell you how on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show.
There's a new test that scientists have learned how to test your blood. You give them a sample of blood, and they'll tell you how long you live.
What? Really?
How about that? It's not,
I'm in.
Not 100%, obviously, but they think they've isolated something called a telomere, I believe is how you say it. I think that's how they say it. It's part of the DNA. And if you have a short telomere, then... you're going to live a shorter life, and if you have a long one, you're going to live a longer life. So you can literally go in and give them blood, and they'll say, tomorrow, sorry.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't think it's that accurate, but, I mean, they can tell you if you're going to live a long life.
Like if you have the gene for it, essentially.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
It is interesting because, you know, oftentimes your body does not feel that it is the same age as it actually is. So you can be 40, for instance, but have the body of a 20-year-old or have the body of a 60-year-old.
Yeah.
It all depends on you know, on how you were built. And that's why it's interesting. And, you know, it has reignited the debate that we've had on this show many times before, which is, would you want to know how long you have left and to what degree of accuracy? I mean, it's one thing to know you have 25 years left. It's another thing to know you have 9 months.
Yeah, sure. But I don't
and
think
what,
it's that quite
what
that
you do with that information.
Yeah, let's check. We had Alex get the scientists on the phone, so that's good news,
okay.
Right? We have Dr. I don't have his name here. Dr. Charles McNider. Hello, doctor.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
we're fine, Doctor. Are you working on this blood test that we've been talking about?
Yes, I'm one of the people who was there when we invented it, don't you know?
Great news.
Very exciting. I was working in the lab late one night.
Where are you now? So it is no longer science fiction. This is a science fact now.
Yes.
To what degree can you tell us how many years we have left? I mean, how accurate is this test?
All right, listen up.
Okay.
It's not that detailed.
Okay, all right.
Like, we can't tell you exactly when you're going to die.
Well, get on it.
But we do know that these telomeres, which are structures at the tips of the different chromosomes...
Right.
When they're shorter, people tend to have shorter lifespans.
Okay.
So we can't detail whether you have some horrible disease or whatever, but we can look at your blood and look at the chromosomes and give you a general idea about how long you're going to live. The longer the telomere, the longer the lifespan, the shorter the telomere, well, you understand the rest.
Sure.
Okay, certainly is. Now, we sent off some blood when we were preparing for this interview.
Yes, I have it right here in my laboratory.
You do? Okay, so that did get to you. Now, what are you able to tell us from those results, Doctor?
Let's take a look. First, right. L. May is the subject, L. May.
Lisa May.
Yeah,
Lisa,
me.
She's here, right?
Run that through the...
Oh, you can do it live. That's awesome.
Well, I got the results here. El May has the body of a 27-year-old.
Yeah.
Nice.
With 9 different STDs.
Oh, so good news, bad news.
That won't shorten my lifespan, will it?
Well, it depends on which ones you don't get treated. I suggest you make some phone calls to some fellas that you've been with.
Wow.
Because you're like a walking Petri dish.
Okay.
I don't want to say whore, but come on.
We've said it before. Don't worry, Doctor.
Kay Ryder.
That's
Kay
me.
Ryder.
Kevin, yes.
Kevin, he's here. All right.
All right. This blood can be used as lamp oil, it says.
What does that mean?
There's enough alcohol in it that it'll burn for days.
Oh! But I hadn't taken a drink when we sent it to you.
Well, you've been taking a drink for about 47 years, yeah, according to what my calculations are.
Now,
we had alcohol firing in the lab when we exposed it to air. Got near a Bunsen burner, and the next thing you know, the whole place went up.
That's terrible. Does that at least make him well-preserved, though, and nothing will kill him?
No, it actually means his brain dead, and his liver will soon be falling out of his body.
Oh, well, that's not good.
That's very sad.
Well,
very
you're
sad.
A bummer.
B. Baxter. Bean
oh,
Baxter.
That's me. Right? All right. Nervous now.
This blood was taken from a mummy, it says.
From a mummy?
Yes, this subject was born sometime in the Paleolithic era.
Well, we've always
was a prospector from the 1800s.
But it's from a live person, Doctor.
Oh, sure it is. Okay. Okay. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Have a little fun with the doctor, aren't you? You sent me some ancient blood.
No, this is from a living person.
I know. When anyone was exposed to the blood here in the lab, they got less fun. I know that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Took the fun right out of them?
Sucked the fun right out of the room.
Okay. Thanks for doing that.
What? Love that song.
Oh, yeah.
Still love that song. Anyway, that's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Today is Friday. Ralph has the movie beat next hour. One of the films he's going to be talking about is the Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tide, which our boy Beer Mug was at the world premiere of at the happiest place on earth. Am I right, Mug?
Yes, it was before Mother's Day, the Saturday before Mother's Day. They had it at Disneyland. It was the best movie premiere I've ever been to.
And you were on the red carpet, the whole deal?
The black carpet, Kevin.
The black carpet.
The black carpet.
See what they did? They went a different direction with the color.
They did.
Where do they? I've heard about screenings that they have for other Disney films at Disneyland. What do they project the movie on? Don't they have something special? And
they
cool
have.
That they do?
I think it was like it had to be like a 50-foot screen, and they put it right. They set up 1,000 stadium seats above the river part of Adventureland.
Oh,
and that's where you watch it. So you watch it out. It was amazing.
A lot of people there.
Yeah, 1,000. The stars were there.
Oh, wait till you hear the interviews, Bean.
Yeah,
Mug scored, man.
Oh, am I eating into time that we should be listening to him sit down with Johnny Depp?
No, I'm just saying, when you said a lot of stars there, it made me remember. I went through the tape, and Mug's really like landed the big fish.
That
too many
so cool.
to talk to.
It really
too
is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really
now
is.
This is the type of event that not only do you get your Jeffrey Rushes and your Johnny Depps and your big stars from the film, but it's an event. Everybody wants to be there. So I imagine all of Hollywood turned out for something like this.
Yeah,
right? You don't miss this, especially the big stars who have kids. It's a great opportunity. You know, if you're Seth Rogen or somebody, bring down your family. And watch it, right?
Yeah. Japan was there. Everybody was there.
What does that mean, Japan? The whole country?
Bean was saying.
The whole nation?
Everybody showed up. Not only Hollywood. Journalists.
Oh, journalists. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Mugs, were you drinking?
I might have had a little bit the night before, but I didn't go down under the influence, no.
What up? It's Beer Mug here on the black carpet at Pirates of the Caribbean.
Are you sure?
That does sound more like the Hangover 2 premiere.
Does.
That sounded like I had a little birdation right there.
There's some definitely birdation.
Beaner.
What up? It's Beer Mug here on the black carpet at Pirates of the Caribbean.
Caribbean is a hard word to say.
Now listen to this setup. Listen to this introduction of Johnny Depp. I mean, he really goes all out for this one.
Beer Mug here on the black carpet at the Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides world premiere here at Disneyland. And first off, I'm going to go ahead and say it. We all know it.
Pump it up.
Pirates are cool.
That's right.
Jeffrey Rush is cool.
Fine.
Yeah. Right.
Penelope Cruz is cool.
Sure. Yeah,
but right. I'm here to see one guy and one guy only. The only man that I would drop my pants for, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot wait till I talk to Johnny Depp.
All right,
did you like that setup?
But if Johnny was there, it would make sense.
Yeah.
Well, he's priming us because he knows he's going to get him later. He just wants to make sure that we share his enthusiasm for what a big moment this is.
But I don't think you say ladies and gentlemen unless you're,
unless you're formal.
That's
ladies
true.
And gentlemen,
it's formal.
I can't wait for something. What is that?
I'm trying.
Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Depp is not here. I'm not speaking with him right now.
I'm looking forward. I just wanted to let you know, ladies and gentlemen. So Johnny Depp shows up, and the crowd.
Okay, here we go.
Crowd starts chanting his name.
Johnny! They're chanting for me.
You see, because
no, he
because
didn't.
My name is Johnny too.
That's his name as well. But Penelope Cruz walked by.
Yeah,
okay.
By the way, if you give
how
me my,
beautiful is she?
I saw her with my own eyes.
If you give me my choice of those two, Johnny Depp, Penelope Cruz, I'm going Penelope.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Penelope's cool, but I can't wait to talk to Johnny Depp. So here's the in-depth, hard-hitting interview with Penelope Cruz.
Penelope. Penelope.
Nope.
She walked right by
what?
Me. Right by me.
She didn't walk right by you. You wouldn't have been yelling that loud.
No, she walked right
she
by
me. She walked like a half a mile from you.
No, she was literally right
you
in front of
you. You wouldn't have yelled her name that loudly if she was right in front of you.
I'm sure you
Penelope! She would have fallen down.
I'm sure you stood on your fair share of red carpets. It's so hard to get the main stars, and she just walked right by.
Well, that's okay because you got Keith Richards.
Yes.
So, Keith Richards, right?
Yeah.
Rolling Stone, for God's sake.
Absolutely.
Keith Richards! How do I party as hard as you?
Good question. Important question.
Now, I like this. I like he yells Keith, and Keith Richards won't look because he's paying attention to somebody else. So Beer Mug just goes, well, I'm just going to shout my question then. He can't hear it. He's not going to respond, but he didn't get anywhere with Penelope, so he might as well just go, how do I party as hard as you?
You can't say I didn't try to ask the hard-hitting questions.
By the way, as I'm listening to you on this tape, Beer Mug, you don't need to party any harder
than
you already are.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. Doesn't he sound drunk through every single
yes,
second?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so...
Main event?
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. Holy crap. It's none other than Psycho Mike Catherwood on the black carpet.
Wait...
I don't do radio.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. He's going in.
Too big a star.
Yeah.
Mike, the fame's gotten to his head, I guess.
So then Johnny Depp walks by.
Yes.
And as you know from listening to this tape, Beer Mug is all about the Johnny Depp and can't
well,
wait.
Well, at least he's ready for this interview because this is the one he's been thinking about the whole week. Right. He drove down to Disneyland thinking, here's what I'm going to say when I talk to Johnny Depp. I mean, at least we know he's got this one.
Have you seen the first, how many have there been? Three? Two? Three?
Three, three prior.
Have you seen the three movies?
Yes.
You've seen all three movies?
Yes.
All right. That makes this interview much weirder.
Johnny Depp is walking by. Johnny! My name's Johnny too. Will you marry me? Johnny! Johnny! I don't think that's him.
What?
That's not him.
What?
It wasn't Johnny Depp.
In my defense, there was about three impersonators on the red carpet.
Oh, seriously?
So I thought one of them was Johnny Depp, actually.
Wait, hold on. You mean people who are dressed up as Captain Sparrow?
No, well, not only Captain Sparrow, there's actually Johnny Depp impersonators dressed up like as he would, like casually.
Are you sure that you weren't just drunk?
No, I wasn't drunk.
So you saw
all
three movies before.
Yes, I know.
You know what Johnny Depp looks like.
Yes.
And then you spent about 10, 12, 14 seconds yelling his name before you realized it wasn't him?
I wanted to make sure in case it was him, I could get his attention, but it wasn't.
I have never heard of them sending impersonators, not of characters, but of the actors who play those characters to a premiere, ever.
They did.
You know why, Bean?
Doesn't happen.
Come on, it did. It really happened. I'm not lying.
It was just some dude with messed up hair and mugs and his drunken state was like, Johnny! My name's Johnny too. Oh, well then I'll come right over. Like that would have worked.
It could have.
I don't think that's him. That's not him.
It's not him at all.
Yeah. It's not him at all, she said.
But then
the
real Johnny Depp walked by and he just was signing. He couldn't have been more cool to the fans. He was signing autographs. So nobody on the press got him.
So that's the interviews? So you got one person to talk to you.
Yeah.
And that was Psycho Mike. Yeah. He said he doesn't do radio.
Barely talked to him.
You yelled Penelope.
Yes.
You yelled Keith Richards, how can I party like
you?
And then you yelled at Johnny Depp for a long time and then realized it wasn't Johnny Depp.
I'm like Anderson Cooper.
Wow. You're really good.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes till 7 o'clock.
It's the last Kevin and Bean show of all time if the world really does end tomorrow. But if it doesn't, on the 1% chance that those people are wrong and the apocalypse is not happening this weekend, we do have new shows planned for next week, including our friend Kevin Smith coming by, the Pitbull of Comedy Bobby Slayton, Adam Carolla, live music in studio from the band Foster the People. Also, I think we're talking to Weiland next week from Stone Temple Pilots. I think we're talking to him about his just-released autobiography. So all of that next week, if there is a next week, here on the Kevin and Bean
Show. We haven't put a lot of work into it because we don't want to waste our time.
Exactly.
Right, absolutely.
So it's time for one of my favorite features, I'll tell you that.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
There is a school teacher in Atlanta who was upset about losing his job, 31-year-old, and he was very upset by the cutbacks, and to prove his point, I think, or to get back at somebody or whatever, this is what he did. Now, what would you do if you're a school teacher, you learn you're losing your job, you're at school,
mm-hmm.
and I'm at school.
What do you think you would do?
Well, I'm a school teacher. Go ahead, B.
What I would do is I would go to management and I would have a very compelling case as to why they shouldn't let me go and talk about what a great job I've been doing with the kids and how I'm an essential part of their education and don't fire me.
He took off all his clothes and walked around school.
Well, or
that was
that
my
option.
Second choice.
Well, how far would you get down on your list of things to do before you got to that?
Pretty well, far down.
You know what that doesn't do is say to the employer, right. Hey, you're making a mistake by letting me go.
So they called the police, and the police showed up. He was still walking around the halls and everywhere just so
fantastic.
All the students could see him. I don't know. I don't know if he was trying to prove something or it was just a big F you. I don't know, but...
It's just, I'm a man.
Look at
me.
Yeah. Check this out. They're making a mistake.
I got skills.
It doesn't seem like that's what you want in a teacher, unless she's hot. This is the funniest story that I've ever seen of ass dialing. Authorities say a man ass dialed 911. He was at a restaurant, and he was sitting there talking, and he didn't know the phone was in his back pocket. He didn't know it called 911. So the operator came on, and she said, 911, what's your emergency? And there was no one there, but she could hear somebody talking. And they were talking about drugs, and they were doing a drug deal.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Good timing.
So the 911 operator just listened. Of course, they record everything. And so then they sent a police officer over there, and they found one of the chefs, one of the cooks in the back. The phone was in his back pocket, and then they found a bunch of drugs on him, and they arrested him.
His phone turned him
his
in.
His ass turned him in.
Called the police on himself. That's awesome.
His ass called the police.
And you know, 911, they get a lot of calls from people who are, you know, in difficult, scary situations where they're not able to tell them what's going on. So they're trained to listen and look for
right,
clues.
Exactly.
Hey, let's figure out where this person is, what this person is doing, what the emergency might be, what kind of assistance might be needed. So, I mean, this person, that was the wrong person to ass dial is 911.
Yeah, no kidding. So, and apparently she could have listened as long as she wanted. I mean, he had no idea that his ass dialed 911. His ass did not like him dealing drugs. I think that's what we've learned. And finally, we have an audio story. This is from Oklahoma, and apparently all the rage. And how many times have we had to say that in the last 4 months? All the rage. They're doing this, and they're putting it up on YouTube. Don't do it. Yeah. How many times have we said that? Well, now they're lighting themselves on fire. That's happening.
Wow, really?
So they spray themselves with something flammable. And then they light themselves on fire. So what could go wrong with that?
It's a stunt popular with teens. They're using highly flammable body spray to set themselves and their friends on fire.
It's not necessarily setting your bodies on fire. It's necessarily you're thinking that the Axe body spray will keep it from burning your hand, but it won't.
But it won't. I can tell you firsthand it won't. My hand burned.
Oh, my God.
Why? How stupid? Look, I think I was the dumbest kid alive.
You were the poster boy.
I really
for
was.
Yeah.
And you loved fire.
And I loved fire. And at one point, I did singe all the hair off my head. But I never on purpose lit myself on fire. I mean, really, that's if it's below my line of stupidity, put them down.
Everything else is so dull, you're now at lighting yourself on fire.
Right. Well, they're in Oklahoma. I don't know. But these kids are super bored. So, and they have somebody filming it, of course.
Right.
And what could go wrong with setting yourself on fire?
There are dozens of YouTube videos of kids playing with fire. Some use the spray to create fireballs.
We're all going to die because of this.
Video like that is possibly what gave an 8th grade Shawnee student the idea to set her legs on fire.
All right. So how do you think that went? She set her legs on fire. Good, bad. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm saying bad.
Bad.
A source tells us she was severely burned and has been out of school for nearly 3 weeks.
It's fun until they or a friend of theirs gets burned. And then when they spend a couple of weeks in the hospital and are disfigured for the rest of their life, it really wasn't so much fun in retrospect.
And the Shawnee girl, she did receive third-degree burns, and the doctor I interviewed, he said it only takes seconds to get a severe burn like that.
So that's what's happening now.
Look, mock it all you want, but planking is not the dumbest thing someone can do, right?
No, you don't set yourself on fire. I think really is the message that if you could take anything away from today's show, I don't know, fire skin equals fire. So you lose.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Lady. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:49.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. By the way, Ralph, getting a lot of suggestions for your End of the World playlist that people are going to want to be listening to between now and when the rapture comes tomorrow.
Yeah.
Including Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham has been suggested. Last Dance by Donna Summer.
Good.
Zombie by the Cranberries. I don't know if we're going to be in zombies. Only the Good Die Young.
Oh, good one.
Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think probably the most appropriate, the big number one hit from Blondie, Rapture, is one that is people are going, hey, what about Rapture? Got to play Rapture.
So. Rapture.
Or just have you sing it.
Like, hey, Fred, Friday, hey, fly, fly, time is good, time is good.
I hated that song.
Well, then you don't want it to be one of the last things you hear on Earth, I guess.
No, that's true.
All right, it is Friday of the Kevin DeBean Show Movie Beat next hour. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Were you guys the ones hanging out with Anna Torv and John Noble last night from Fringe? Was that you guys?
Wait,
was
let
you
me
guys
think.
Partying with the crew from Fringe? Was that
let
you
me
guys?
Think. Wait, is Anna Torv?
No. Anna Torv, the smoking hot blonde who plays Olivia Dunham on the popular Fox program Fringe?
I believe I was not there.
That wasn't you?
No.
Who could it have been?
That would have been you, Ralph.
Oh, that's right. I always get us confused, Kevin.
I know you do.
Last now night at the Paley Center, we had an evening with Fringe. I'll tell you, what a nice group of people they are.
Yeah?
Yeah, the executive producers are there, Jeff Pinkner and
the other guy?
J.H. Wyman, Akiva Goldsman, who was one of the directors and writers and producers of the show. Just couldn't be a nicer bunch of people. And he said,
and they got to be smart. They got to be so smart to be on a show like that, right?
And the fans, it turned out, were also very smart. You know, that show attracts a sort of very literate, clever crowd, and so it was a good night. But they were talking about the cast, how great Olivia, Anna Torv, who plays Olivia, and John Noble, who plays Walter Bishop, how great they were in the show. And I said, yes, but you had to go out of the country to find them. There are no nice American actors, apparently. They had to go to another country to find decent people.
How was that received?
Well, by them.
All right, good.
Yeah, not so much by the Americans.
Was Joshua Jackson there, too?
No, he's not there because he doesn't exist anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't watch the show regularly, Beam?
No, I
gone.
Don't.
Gone. Gone.
I'm not smart enough for that show, apparently.
Gone for good.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Oh, dude.
Never existed.
He never existed. At the end of the season finale of Fringe,
dude.
The season, his character is removed from existence. Never existed. No one has any memory of him. Never happened. He just doesn't exist.
That's an awesome plot line.
It is pretty cool. So my first question was, is Jackson looking for work? Are you guys bringing him back or whatever? And he said, oh, no, he'll find work. Not on our show, but that's what I said. 2 and a Half Men? Is that his plan?
Yes.
No, he will be back for season 4. So anyway, now, great time last night. Thank you
We
so
talk
much.
About these Paley Center events all the time, Ralph, and you give away tickets for them. But it's a museum, and for people who weren't there last night, they can go and watch your presentation last night in the archives, right? They can see it if they're Fringe fans.
Absolutely. Not only that, but Paley also releases all of these events on DVD as well. You can buy the DVD if you want to own it.
Oh, sweet.
So that's another option.
That?
Go to Paley Center. It's Paley, paleycenter.org. And you should join up if you're not a member. If you're in New York or Los Angeles areas, they've got two museums, and it really is a great event.
Don't let the word museum scare you off like it does me.
Yeah, it's really
when
not
When I hear
like
museum,
that.
I think, out.
It's museum, but it's for TV and radio,
yeah,
so exactly. It's cool stuff that you like, and they've got an amazing archive of stuff. You can say, oh, I want to see an episode of that TV show from the 70s I've heard so much about. You can go there, sit down, and pull it up from their vast collection.
Or I want to see the cast of Dexter or Sopranos or whatever. You have it all.
The live events that they do really are pretty remarkable. So it was a cool event, so I want to thank everyone at Paley for making that possible. Speaking of television history, you guys getting together with your friends and family to, I don't know, be close to your loved ones
this
tonight?
Weekend?
Tonight, yeah.
I don't know why.
Yes? It's Mary Hart's last show on Entertainment Tonight. We have to say goodbye to Mary Hart.
She's still alive?
Oh, Kevin. She's been hosting the show for nearly 30 years.
Wow.
We have to say goodbye to Mary.
And I have not watched her in almost that exact amount of time.
We got to put her down, apparently.
Is that what
really?
They're going
to
do?
Yeah, they're going to put her down in the last episode.
That's too bad.
Pop! Just do the awesome 22 in the back of the head. Just watch her collapse in a heap on the soundstage.
I don't think that's how they're going to do it.
An awesome finale, though.
That's not their touching tribute.
I think John Tesh, Bob Goen, and Rob Weller are just going to beat her to death.
Have you heard that for sure? You're just
speaking? I'm just...
All right.
Just wishful thinking.
Just guessing.
Yeah.
Now, is Nancy O'Dell is replacing her, right? Formerly of Access Hollywood?
As She's far as Mary I Hart? Know, that's right. Yeah. Mary Hart.
Yep.
I know it sounds ridiculous now, but there was a time in this world where there was one entertainment news program.
Just that's it.
That was it. Entertainment Tonight was it.
And everyone said, you're going to do an entire show about showbiz news? You have your head up your ass?
Yeah.
No one's going to watch that. And now that's all we watch. There is no other news.
Now, and there's multiple networks that do nothing but entertainment.
Yes. And the evening news on CBS leads with Lady Gaga stories.
The news is entertainment news.
Craziness. Arnold Schwarzenegger has asked his agents to put all of his Hollywood projects on hold as he faces more fallout from his admitted affair and love child with his housekeeper. The story gets better and better. We're finding out that Maria actually confronted the housekeeper about the relationship, and that's when Arnold came clean.
So she found out from who? How did she know?
She had her suspicions.
Oh, okay.
Confronted the housekeeper.
And why are you wearing my clothes?
That was one of the questions. Hey, all that jewelry that's gone missing? Can I take a look in your purse? And then Arnold apparently, when he realized she was confronting the woman, stepped up and admitted to the...
The woman denied it.
That's initially, at least. Yeah, I don't know if she eventually relented or not, but...
She said, no?
No. No, Mrs. Maria.
I'd love to see the arc of what was going on in Arnold's brain over the last 13 years. The various times that he thought, oh my God, eventually this is going to come out and it's going to be really crappy that day. And the other times where he thought, I got away with it. I can't believe I impregnated a housekeeper and no one's ever going to know.
You can't ever think that. You can't ever think, oh, I got away with it.
Yeah.
Because every day is a fresh opportunity for that secret to come out. He must have been living in dread for 10 years.
That's what I think. Is that it's got to break sometime, and it's going to suck.
Worth it. Mm-hmm. Just that hanging over your head like the Sword of Damocles. Just no thank you.
Look up Sword of Damocles.
Damocles with an M. Yeah, look that up. We're saying goodbye to Mary Hart. We're saying goodbye to Oprah. It's the last Oprah tapings this week. Kevin, did you go to the last Oprah show? Did you? As far as your wife didn't book you a private jet.
It's actually, if you must
parachute
know,
yourself into that telecast.
It's next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, if you must know.
Because is that when it airs?
I've been informed that that's when the last three programs are on.
Oh, I see.
When they air. And
that's when they're airing.
And that's when I die.
That's your own personal rapture.
I just think that she has such control over women. My wife is number one, and then
she's going to give the signal
at the end of the show. She's going to say, "All men must go."
Yeah,
I'm going first. So it's been nice knowing you all.
Well,
I'll be around Monday or Tuesday, but not Wednesday.
Okay. Right? We'll make our goodbyes then.
Okay.
And Katy Perry's a bit of a diva.
How dare you?
I don't like her now.
What?
What?
Have you seen the Smoking Gun?
No.
.com website this week?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Yes, but it doesn't dampen his enthusiasm at all.
Apparently it doesn't. They got a hold of her contract rider.
Sweet.
The rider, for those who don't know, is the addendum to a contract when a performer's hired to perform at a venue. They, you know, you got the money and all the details and that. And then they tack on sometimes, well, in this case, 45 pages.
Wow.
Of details of stuff that they need to have done just so in order for the performer to fulfill their obligations.
Wouldn't it be easy to let yourself go with that, though? Like, every new venue, you go, let's add this, let's add that.
I think that is the biggest indicator of douchebaggery the longer your rider
is. That's possible, but...
You are really an asshole once you start asking for, and I quote, she must have white and purple hydrangeas in her dressing room. Pink and white roses and peonies. If those flowers are not available, Katy will settle for white orchids.
That's
but
nice
under no circumstances are there to be carnations.
She's turned into Mariah Carey after two albums.
F you.
Giant size cans.
Really?
There are 22 instructions for whomever is driving her around. A list of 22 different instructions they must follow at all times.
What is it, like the radio station or music? Or
The level of the window has to be a certain height while the person is driving. Yes.
Wow.
You cannot talk to Katy Perry at any time. You cannot engage any conversation with her guests in the car at any time. You cannot talk to any of the fans surrounding the car at any given time. You can't touch her luggage unless invited to touch her luggage.
You
must stay behind the wheel of the car at all times. You cannot look at her in the rearview mirror when she's in the back seat. It goes on and on for 22 different rules she's got for her drivers.
Just for the driver?
Her dressing room has to be hung with certain drapery and piping in pink and white.
Does she get dressed in there?
Yes.
Then I'm good with it. I don't care.
No, no. And the biggest F you to all the fans, by the way, is Katie reserves the right to withhold a block of seats from any and all concerts and then give them to a secondary market reseller like StubHub.
Really?
For a higher cost, and they get to pocket all of the profits from those sales.
She needs more money then?
So the venue's got to give her a block of seats that she can hand over to StubHub that sells them for three or four times the face value, and she keeps all the profits from those sales. That's the way to treat your fans. You know when you're complaining about scalpers, people?
Yeah.
This is the people that you're complaining about. The artists themselves sometimes do this to you. And Katy Perry is one of them.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
You got to go to thesmokinggun.com to read all of the details, but it's remarkable the demands after two albums, like Bean says, that she is asking of people.
I'm still good with her.
No, she's bad. The food stuff is crazy. She needs organic freeze-dried strawberries and crudité made from organic broccoli. And just the food list is forever. You couldn't eat, Beer Mug couldn't eat in a week. The stuff she has to have in her dressing room before she'll go on stage.
Because she's not sure what she'll want, so
exactly.
It all has to be there.
Oh, God. Oh, it turned my stomach, the whole thing. F you.
Love it.
F you. I'm saying, Katy Perry.
Do you have to get that stuff for her?
No.
All right, then.
No one should have to get that stuff. Just show up and sing and go home. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do.
That's a lot, man. She's got to look good.
That has nothing to do with the crudité and the ranch dip. Whether she looks good or not.
Just saying.
Bitch. Today's celebrity birthdays. Busta Rhymes is 39. Where's Busta? Where's Busta been?
I think he's still around.
I miss Busta. Let's get him on the phone before the end of the world. We talk to Busta?
Before the end of the
world,
I don't know.
Does everybody get a last request? My request would like to talk to Busta Rhymes before I go.
I think we do.
Timothy Oliphant is 43 years old today. Bronson Pinchot celebrates his 52nd birthday. Jane Wiedland of the Go-Go's is 53. Cher turned 65. And singer Joe Cocker celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Ralph came in, was it yesterday, the day before he came in, and said that he had gone to a premiere screening of Pirates of the Caribbean that David King of Mexico was also at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Ralph went on at great length about how phenomenal the setup was in this particular theater. Where did he say it was?
Well,
it was Chinese, wasn't it?
It was IMAX.
Yeah,
it was IMAX.
And it was 3D. Yeah. I mean, just the booming sound system and the 70-foot screen, it is just, I mean, a sensory overload. Like, you just are enveloped in the movie. You're on the ship with Captain Jack if you're watching it in this particular theater, right? I guess at some point, Dave, he looks over or he finds out after the film that you've slept through virtually the entire movie. Is that correct?
Well, he asked me how the film was, and I said, I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
I think we're instituting a new policy, first of all, which is that Dave doesn't go to screenings and take the seat of somebody who might really enjoy that movie. Because all he wants is a nap.
It was a good nap, too, though, man.
Woo. But Dave, if you're going to be tired and you're going to go to sleep, why not just not go to the screen and go, hey, I'm too tired, and go home and actually go to sleep?
I mean, does it help that it was like someone's birthday party that I was doing? That was part of her birthday celebration, one of my friends. So we went to go see, we had dinner and a movie.
Right.
So we all went as a group.
You couldn't handle both of those?
We all went as a group, and I said, it's a good time to check out and take a nap. So that's what I did.
All right, you laugh about it, but we're actually concerned because this isn't the first, this isn't the 10th, this may be the 100th time we've heard about you falling asleep at something. What's the deal with you? Is it possible you've got some sort of medical condition where you can't stay awake?
Not at all.
Bean, you remember he used to fall asleep driving all the time.
Yeah, that is true. But
so how do you say not at all then? That's a problem.
Listen, here's my dealio, and it's that I go like 3 weeks straight without sleeping, and then occasionally something happens, and this was the case.
Occasionally.
Yeah, where I fall asleep. I mean, if you look at the events that we're going to talk about, they're far apart from
each other. You have fallen asleep at the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, that's another IMAX 3D, by the way.
You fell asleep at The Hangover.
Yes.
Right after the previews, and you woke up when the credits were rolling and they were showing the photos.
The pictures, yes. I was like, ooh, that looked like a funny movie.
People laughing didn't wake you up?
He went to Hellboy 2 twice. And fell asleep both times.
By the way, turns out that was a good choice. Both times.
Fell asleep at Hop. So we're not talking about like this is an isolated incident. He also fell asleep at a Kiss concert in the second row.
While fireworks were going off.
You got that kind of fireworks and Dodger game I could understand because it's baseball. That's boring. friend's wedding he fell asleep at. And he fell asleep sitting right on the runway, right on the railing at a strip club.
That happened.
Dave.
Yeah.
So the girl's on stage inches from him, and he's like...
And the bouncers do not like that.
Really?
Yeah, they were a little...
You think that might be a little insulting?
Probably you thought he was passed out.
Now, Dave, having said all that...
Yes.
You still sticking to every 3 weeks something happens?
I'm sticking to it, man. I blame all those events. I blame something leading up to it where I was partying and going, man.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Carlos writes in, I was listening to your guys' show, and it sounds like the reason Dave sleeps all the time is he might have a condition called sleep apnea. I see this every day because I work for the Fontana Sleep Center. We can test for that. Please let me know if you need my help. Somebody else has suggested that perhaps Dave has narcolepsy, which I guess is some sort of thing that you get when you can't stop yourself from falling asleep, no matter how engaged you are in what's going on around you. It's a physical thing. So we thought, we got to get some more information about this. And we got an expert we happen to know. Our good friend Dr. Mo joins us. He is the chief of surgery at the Little Company of Mary. Hey, Dr. Mo, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey. Dr. Mo, by the way, well, I won't say what... I won't tell the exchange that he and Alex had yesterday, what Dr. Mo was doing at the time. I don't want to get you in any kind of trouble, Dr. Mo, but we appreciate you getting back to us and agreeing to come on the show with us today.
No problem. Happy to be here.
All right. Sleep apnea or narcolepsy or whatever. What does it sound like to you?
Dave?
Yeah.
Or he's just a lop?
Yeah. No, don't validate that.
Nice. He's a lob. Look, there are some things that can happen to people that make it impossible for them to stay awake. I'm sure you've encountered this in your own practice, Dr. Mo. What do you know about it, and should Dave be concerned?
No, he shouldn't be concerned, and all of us have fallen asleep. I mean, I remember I fell asleep at Joy Luck Club. So, I mean, that's not really...
Well, that's what you should do.
But that's a bunch of Asian chicks talking. Who wouldn't fall asleep?
No, but wait, Dr. Mo. But here's the thing. We all have fallen asleep at... I don't know. We were in New York, and I went to a play. I forget what it was, and I fell asleep. But it was cold and dark, and I was tired because we'd been out the whole night.
That's easy to do.
Yeah, okay, so... But that happens to all of us occasionally. It seems to happen to Dave, I would guess, you know, 5 times more than the average person.
Right. Now, the question is, does he have narcolepsy? And let's talk about exactly what narcolepsy is.
Please.
Narcolepsy is technically a sleep disorder.
Okay.
And if you look at the definition, it causes excessive sleepiness and frequent daytime sleep attacks.
That happens.
So this isn't, but it's not like I'm groggy or something. It's actually a nervous system disorder.
Oh, okay.
And some of the stuff I looked up showed that it may be due to, like, the brain produces a certain, or too low of a certain type of protein. It runs in families, actually. But the symptoms are pretty specific, and there's 4 of them, and I'll run them by you, and you can see if they if they've qualified. One is periods of extreme drowsiness every 3 to 4 hours during the day. And so what happens is people are walking around like, oh, my God, I totally have to go to sleep, and then they actually sleep. It only lasts about 15 minutes, and they actually feel refreshed afterwards.
Dave?
Sometimes it happens after a meal, but sometimes it can be actually during driving or right in the middle of a conversation.
I'm going to speak for Dave and say yes. All right, number two. Number two.
Two, and this one's sort of vague. I couldn't get a good definition on this, but some people hallucinate as they're coming up from sleeping but not totally awake yet.
Oh,
I don't know what that means. That sounds like bogus medical stuff to me.
Yeah, he doesn't
know
that.
There's something called sleep paralysis, and this sounds kind of interesting, that when you first wake up, you're awake and you can't move.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Isn't that everybody?
Isn't that everybody in the morning?
All right, but we're talking about a guy who can fall asleep in the loudest, most unlikely of places.
Yeah, it's not narcolepsy. I know that much.
No, well, there's something...
Well, how do you know, Dr. Dave?
Oh, wait, no.
There's something called cataplexy. And this one I'd really like to see, because this is kind of cool. This is sudden loss of muscle tone while you're awake.
Sudden loss of muscle tone?
That sounds more like me than anyone.
Yeah, and so sometimes if you're, like, laughing or there's some sort of strong emotion, all of a sudden it lasts less than 30 seconds. You can miss it, but you'll see somebody whose head falls forward, their jaws become slack, and their knees will buckle. They may just sit there and freeze for a second and then come right back.
Oh, I wish that happened.
That's weird. That's like a seizure or something, right?
We could have some fun with that.
That's a good point about seizures, because that's one of the things that you have to rule out for people with narcolepsy.
All right, so
that's exactly right.
Let's say it's not... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay, because what Dave's going to need to do, and actually, without being that silly, he probably really should get this done, is he probably should see a doctor, and there's a test that they do that'll help rule this in or out.
Okay, so let's say it's not narcolepsy for this conversation. What else could it be?
Too much raging. That's what it is.
Too much raging?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Dave, how about the sleep apnea, Dr. Mo, that Carlos suggested? Yeah, is that a possibility?
That's the other thing is, what if he's not sleeping at night?
He's not.
For whatever reason.
He isn't sleeping at night, by the way. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy because I could, you know, I lay in bed and at 11 and I won't go to sleep till about 12.
That's because you just got 3 hours of sleep during a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. That makes sense. He can't sleep.
That totally makes sense.
He couldn't sleep. He has trouble sleeping a lot of nights.
No, that's absolutely true.
Okay.
I will tell you, as funny as it is, and we make fun of Dave because, you know, this happens so frequently, if I were falling asleep even once behind the wheel of the car, it would terrify me to the point where I would do everything. I would never stop trying to figure out how to stop that from happening again.
But does he fall asleep behind the wheel of the car?
He did a lot.
Yes. I used to. I don't anymore. Well, but
you used to a lot.
I used to a lot, yeah. But it was usually during the afternoon hours, like the twilight hours. But
okay, so, that helps.
Yeah,
he literally used to fall asleep a lot behind the wheel. We would say, you're exaggerating, right? He'd say, no.
No, that was scary for a while, but no, that stopped. So
because you're getting naps at movies now and concerts.
So you would recommend, I mean, there are some tests they can do, Dr. Mo, then, for something like this to maybe help him regulate his sleep more. Maybe he needs a supplement or something like that to kind of, you know, regulate what times of day he sleeps, right?
That's a good point. There are a couple tests. I've actually had one of them when they were you know, that little punching bag that hangs in the back of your throat.
Yeah,
mine was like huge, and it was keeping me from like sleeping at night. So I was having this, and so you get this thing called a polysomnography, where you actually go to this like this clinic that's sort of half hotel. They hook you up to all these wires. They stick you in a room. This voice from the ceiling comes down and says, "Okay, sleep," and they measure you all night long.
Wow, that it's sounds
kind of
fun.
But it tells you exactly what's going on, and Dave sort of gave me some of that history that he has a hard time going to sleep.
All right.
If he doesn't sleep well at night, his body's going to try to recharge whenever it can during the day, and the lights are low, he's in a comfortable chair, he probably just had a bunch of food.
Kind
of
cool.
Sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Makes sense.
Oh, nice.
All right. Well, this is your free initial consultation, yeah. Dave. Now you got to take it upon yourself to go talk to somebody.
All right. So, Dr. Mo, can I get a medical card now? I don't. right?
That's, okay. that's what this is all about.
Right?
No, Dave, you are so high.
Friday means Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Thanks to Dave, the King of Mexico, for bringing this to my attention, but we may have been missing the boat here when it comes to movie reviews.
This whole time?
Yeah. They've had me for years now reviewing movies that I don't go see.
Mm-hmm. Right. Anybody can review a movie they've seen.
Right.
Okay.
That's my contention has always been, that it's easy to go see a movie and talk about it, but to review a film from afar,
right,
that is a gift.
It is a gift.
We talked to a blind movie reviewer.
Correct.
Who goes and just hears movies and mm-hmm. then he reviews them.
Yes.
All the while this has been going on, there has been toplessmoviereviews.com.
Yes!
What?
Toplessmoviereviews.com, the website. You go there and you see the lovely, for example, Sophie D, and you want to know what Thor's like. Well, you just click on a button. Here's what happens.
Hi, guys. So I'm here to rate Thor.
Uh-huh.
I went to go and see it last night.
Right.
And I thought it was, like, really good.
Okay.
I was skeptical. I didn't think it was going to be that great.
Uh-huh.
But I loved it. Like, I loved the action.
Uh-huh.
The fighting scenes were really good. And they had a lot of romance.
Nice.
The story was absolutely amazing.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to rate this movie a 9.
Two okay. boobs out.
So go and take your family. Go and take your girlfriend or whoever you want to go and take.
Yeah.
And go and see it.
You have giant cans.
I'm not sure that's as
she's
effective.
She's just like holding her cans while she's talking about the movie.
I'm not sure that's as effective as audio only.
Yeah, I haven't heard the review. I watched the review 9 times. The first time I actually heard what she was saying, I realized maybe she isn't a great movie reviewer.
We need to replace you, Ralph.
Yes.
I'm sorry to say that, but every Friday, Sophie needs to come in and give reviews.
I agree more. Her in-depth knowledge of cinema is awe-inspiring.
I liked it.
It was good. And fighting. That was good scenes where they for fighting.
Sophie D, by the way, no stranger to action, if you know what I mean.
See what Mugs
did there?
Oh, really?
You're familiar with her resume,
Mugs? Oh, I am.
Where do you know her from?
Oh, she's a porn actress.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we do need to replace me then.
We do.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was very funny, very entertaining. Let's take a look at the movies that are coming out this weekend in a theater near you. A Beautiful Life is the name of this film. Dana Delaney, Debbie Mazar star in the story of two people who are struggling to get their life together. One is escaping an abusive past, stays with an illegal immigrant friend of a friend, and the two fall in love, but face turmoil in this limited-release film starring Dana Delaney. Here's a couple clips edited together from A Beautiful Life.
Some come here to dream.
I love America!
And some come here to hide.
It's no place for a girl. You should go home.
She's on the run.
How did you get that scar?
How come you ran away?
From a past she can't face.
I thought that that was what was best for you.
She's grasping at dreams.
One day I'm going to sing on a big stage for thousands and thousands of people.
That are just beyond her reach.
I want you to marry.
I wish I could love him, too.
No one can know about this ever. Swear!
Wow, that sounds horrible.
sure does.
I wonder what the topless chick like thought about that.
It was good. I thought that there was a lot of romance. Bring the family.
Also opening up this weekend, Midnight in Paris, the new movie from The Woodman.
The Woodman.
Woody Allen.
Oh, Woody Allen?
Oh, is that today, Ralph?
Yeah, it's new.
I can't wait.
Comedy stars Owen Wilson and Rachel McAdams and Marion Cotillard. Romantic comedy about a family traveling to the French capital of Paris and a young engaged couple forced to confront the illusion that life is a little different from their own. This is an awesome, awesome cast. I like Woody Allen films. He's moving everybody to Paris. He was working in England for a while. Now this is his first film out of Paris, but by all accounts... if you're a Woody Allen fan, you will also enjoy this. Here are some clips from Midnight in Paris.
I mean, this is unbelievable. There's no city like this in the world.
You're in love with a fantasy.
I'm in love with you.
I hope you're not going to be as antisocial tomorrow.
I'm not quite as taken with him as you are.
He's a pseudo-intellectual.
Slightly more tannic than the 59. I prefer a smoky feeling.
Where do you think Gil goes every night?
He walks and gets ideas.
Mm-hmm. Why are you so dressed up?
I had a private detective follow him.
And what happened?
I don't know. The detective agency says the detective is missing.
I love Woody Allen.
Sounds good, not going.
Come on, Kevin.
Now, who's got time?
You do.
No. I'll go with Sophie D, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's good, and Woody Allen wears glasses. Here's my boobies.
Pirates of the Caribbean there on Stranger go. Tides.
That's what I have time for.
I really enjoyed this film, Savvy.
really enjoyed seeing Penelope Cruz be a pirate wielding a sword.
Sure.
Ian McShane is Blackbeard. Johnny Depp returns as Captain Jack Sparrow. Jeffrey Rush returns as Captain Hector Barbosa. Great cast. Here's the thing about this film. It is exactly what you think it's going to be. And that's enough.
Okay.
I think it's entertaining. I enjoyed it. I think there's some parts of the film that are a little derivative, reminding me a little bit of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, sort of the ending of this film, as they're looking for the Fountain of Youth is the MacGuffin in this thing, the right. One they're trying to get. Also, the love interest, the young romantic love couple that's sort of forced into the screenplay now that Orlando Bloom is gone and Keira Knightley is gone. Felt a little heavy-handed to me. They brought a new good-looking guy in, just sort of out of the middle of nowhere. Doesn't really feed the story very much, and he falls in love with a mermaid. Mermaids play a very, very big role in this film, along with some zombies and stuff. But overall, it looks great. There's a lot of adventure to it. It's in 3D. I saw it on the IMAX. It was a good time. A lot of fighting and action and adventure. It's a fine, fine summer movie. Here are some clips from Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
We know you're in possession of a map.
You could guide an expedition.
I could use a ship.
What has become of my beloved Pearl?
Taken. Blackbeard.
The Fountain of Youth. What does it require?
A mermaid, Jack.
Yeah, I just wish they had shown the cans of the mermaids.
Yeah.
That's all I want. You had a mermaid, half woman, half fish. The top half is woman. I want to see, like, Sophie D as a mermaid, basically. That's what I want to see.
I want to see the top half.
I want to see her viewing films as a topless mermaid, saying,
I liked it. It was good. And there was fighting and love.
This is Disney, so I don't know
Disney,
that's
so you really couldn't see mermaid
happen,
cans. Yeah. So that's really my biggest complaint about the film. No mermaid cans.
No. not even do the part where Ralph complains that we're going to call because we're going to call. We're just Ralph. We're just going to do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Leave the room then. How about
all
that?
All right, go ahead.
No, you want to stick around? You want to hear this? This could be good.
Screw you guys. I'm glad the world's ending.
There's too many stories involving animals that we need more details on, so we discovered that we need to have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, what are the choices? What could it potentially land on for us today?
It could land on Cookie the Ticklish Penguin.
I want to talk to Cookie so bad.
It could land on the Finnish Hitler mocking dog.
Oh, where's he?
It could land on the slut horse with herpes. It could land on the sad wombat that needs a hug. I hope it doesn't. That doesn't sound very good. It could land on the Lonesome George, the last known Galapagos Pinta tortoise.
Okay.
I hope it lands on that because I can't say it. And it's Shirley the Smoking Orangutan.
Okay. So, all right. Let's spin the wheel, shall we?
Come on, horse with herpes. Lonesome George. There it is, the last known Galapagos Pinta tortoise.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
I can't imagine.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but
can't wait.
Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the
You already spun the wheel, and it's already landed on Lonesome George. What's the deal with Lonesome George, the last known Galapagos gagabus is a pinta tortoise?
He's 100 years old, and he's the only of his kind, his subspecies.
Oh, wow.
Type of tortoise that once roamed the islands.
These are the giant, giant, giant tortoises. Yes. They're like the size of pigs, right? I mean, they're huge.
And they're trying to find a female so that he can mate with her so that they can go on.
Yeah.
But he's 100 years old, and he doesn't have anybody around.
Oh.
Okay.
Not exactly a rabid dating scene going on for the tortoises.
All right. Let's say hello to Lonesome George, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Hi, George.
Wait for a second, because George is having trouble dialing.
This is a disaster.
His little tortoise hands.
His
little flippers aren't hitting the numbers right.
Wait, is he calling us? Is that what's happening?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. All right, let's go.
I'll tell you what I do know is it's sad that this is our last show and it's this bad.
How dare you? Hey, George.
Hello.
George, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We understand that you are 100 years old. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And they're
years
old. Old.
Yeah. Now, they're afraid that your species is going to die out, so they're trying to find somebody for you to mate with. How's that going?
Well.
Good or bad?
They.
Just push one.
I just thought it was going well. Thought the answer was well.
Just push one for good and two for bad. We don't have time.
They have. Don't repeat everything I say.
Okay. That's not what's taking the time now here, George. Okay.
They can understand it. It's just slow.
All right.
You're not translating anything.
All right, so we're going back. They have.
They
already got that.
George, right? George? I understand they've been trying to find a mate for you since 1971, and you haven't liked any of the girls they brought around in 40 years.
They.
Right? Brought around a lot of girls that you haven't liked the last 40 years.
Tried
to bring around a girl that you haven't liked the last 40 years.
Two.
Come on!
Five.
A girl that you like and they haven't been able to find one in the last 40 years. Come on!
This is his problem right here.
Slutty.
Oh, okay. Here
slutty,
we go.
Slutty.
Yeah, now I got your attention.
According to that guy in Oakland, hell on earth starts tomorrow for those of us who are not raptured. How do you plan to spend your last day as a free man? We will discuss coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
I just want to invite everyone, in case the rapture doesn't happen tomorrow, to come out and see me, Kevin Smith, at our Hollywood Babylon show we do every Saturday night up at Universal City Walk at the John Lovis Comedy Club.
So if you're still alive,
if the world is still intact,
all right,
celebrate by going to a comedy show and having a couple cocktails and something to eat with us at Hollywood Babylon. You can go to Babble on Ralph or BabylonKev.com for details and to buy tickets. But we'd love to see you. That is, if we're all still here. If we're not still here, then we have no interest in seeing you.
Right, so don't show up.
Yeah, that's right. We're busy probably roasting in hell, I'm guessing. Now, the rapture people go up with the sit at the right hand of God.
Yes.
What happens to the rest of us? Is it the earth just is destroyed and we're just dead? Or do we go to hell? Or what's the big plan?
Life on earth is hell for 5 or 6 months and then...
You are killed by the massive earthquake, because those of us that survive, it's just going to be... It's going to be hell on earth is what it's going to be, I think. That's my understanding.
There's a big article about this guy that's predicting this and how his church was fledgling and it wasn't making any money. And then as soon as he started predicting the end of the world, and he's just made money.
People start showing up.
Crazy money. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Nothing but cash.
People love death.
They eat this up.
They do.
All right. I hate to be the spoilsport, but I don't think the world's going to end tomorrow. Just going to put that out there.
You're such a buzzkill.
I know.
Well, this will make you feel better. This will make you want to stick around. NBC has announced the four judges on The Voice are coming back for next season.
All right!
That means CeeLo Green and Christina Aguilera and Adam Levine and Blake Shelton will all be returning for The Voice. Great.
You're not a fan of that show, Ralph?
I've seen a little bit of a couple of them, and it seems fine. Seems fine to me. Seems like a good show.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know if they need to make their announcement about who the judges are going to be for next season. Considering the season's not even halfway over yet, but all right.
And a huge hit. I wouldn't have expected that there was that much audience out there that was looking for another show like this, but a huge hit.
Maybe I need a new show because I'm off American Idol.
Fantastic.
Certainly now, since Haley's gone, Haley Reinhart, the little hottie, the last hot one. Now you got Alfred E. Newman, George Bush's love child, Scott McCreery, and Lauren Alania.
She only watched for the hot chicks.
Yeah, or the really, interesting performers. But the remaining two are both sort of country artists, which I have no interest in.
But I think
and
for
bland,
the finale,
kind of bland.
For the finale next week, I think they bring back all the contestants from this season, so you get to see your sweet Pia one more time.
Pia, my pants.
No,
still got to find a phrase
hot.
That doesn't work. Shauna Sands, best known as the former Mrs. Lorenzo Lamas, was arrested for felony domestic violence last Wednesday night.
Oh, no. Ooh. Felony?
Yeah. Neighbor called the police shortly before midnight to report a fight between Shauna and her husband, Laurent Homburger. Laurent Homburger.
Wow.
Is his name. And the cops showed up and they found visible marks on him, on Mr. Homburger. She was hauled in on charges of spousal battery and making criminal threats. Their three daughters that she has with Lorenzo were staying with Dad at the time of the incident, so...
That's not good.
That's good they weren't there. Right?
Yeah. I wonder how often women are arrested for domestic violence or battery.
Very rarely. Even if there's mutual battery seems going on, usually the guy is the one hauled in. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Homburg apparently was the one with all the marks all over him, so it was obvious that he was the one taking the beating.
Right.
That's a lose-lose, by the way. You're a guy and your wife's beating you up and the cops show up and you're like, she beat me up. And then they take her away and you're still the guy. Got his ass kicked by a girl. No matter what happened.
Yeah.
But if you fight back, then you go inside.
Back,
what are you going to do?
You can't fight back.
What are you going to do?
You're going to take it.
No, sometimes a woman just needs the things explained to her. You know what I'm saying?
No, Ralph.
Got to explain things to her. That's all I'm saying.
And by that, you mean peacefully leave the room and come back when the situation is less combustible.
What definition of explained?
That's exactly what
That's
I meant.
What I'm saying. Lorenzo Lamas released a statement saying, "See, I told you." No, he didn't. But bitch. Today's celebrity birthdays. Busta Rhymes is 39 years old today. Timothy Oliphant, who is on Justified. You guys watching the Justified over there on FX?
No.
Very entertaining program. 43 years old. Bronson Pinchot
is 52. Jane Wiedlin of the Go-Go's is 53. Cher turns 65 years old today. Joe Cocker celebrates his 67th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We may need to revisit the playlist, by the way, if this really is like the last 24 hours. I don't know how much time we need to spend listening to that song. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
I think we may need to bring in some, I don't know, maybe
disco?
Update it.
Disco?
Whatever it is. I don't care. Whatever it is, it's not that. Right. I know that much.
Okay.
So, guys, let's just take a quick, round the room. Who's on board with the rapture happening tomorrow, as Harold Camping has been telling us for months now? Who's on board with thinking that there's a possibility of that? Anyone?
I got a gig tomorrow night, so I can't.
So, no.
That's why I look at it.
I'm a no. I think it's dumb, Lisa.
I think it's dumb.
All right. Muggs?
Okay.
The world is finished.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, really? Muggs is on board.
Muggs
on board.
He's hoping.
What's he have to live for?
If I mess up today, I'm good.
This is the group, by the way, in Oakland, the Family Radio Network, that mm-hmm. has been driving vans around San Francisco and all around Oakland, all around the area, and put up billboards. And according to an article out of a Washington paper, they have raised more than $100 million.
Come on.
Over the past seven
what?
Years.
For what? What good is money? What good is money, Kevin, if the world's coming to an end?
It owns 66 radio stations across the globe and is worth more than $72 million in 2009.
Your money's no good in heaven.
And it all started when he wrote the book saying the world was going to end. When was the first time he...
I think it was 1994.
1994, okay.
Son of a bitch.
So they're really profiting off of this. So.
He's now, making money off of misery.
Is the world going to end?
People's fear.
Yes, it is, but not tomorrow. Just not tomorrow.
But one day.
Yeah, maybe.
Someone's going to say it will end, yeah. And then tomorrow will be the day.
Right, but this isn't today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know so much?
I know. I got a gut feeling right here.
Kevin is a Bible scholar.
That's right.
All right, let's play the audio from the news report that explains in greater detail what is expected to happen, and then we'll tell you what we want to know from you here on the Kevin DeBede Show.
This group is convinced that is the beginning of the end of the world.
There'll be a worldwide earthquake such as man has never seen.
Destruction and death everywhere.
Why May 21st? Believers say that's the rapture, exactly 7,000 years since the flood in the biblical story of Noah's Ark. Sandy Klein is crying because she says the end of the world means her daughters won't be able to have children of their own.
And it's like you have no control over anything. It's all in the Lord's hands.
The group believes that everyone who is saved will be taken into heaven May 21st, nice. While everyone left on earth will die over the next 5 months until the world is consumed by a fireball on October 21st.
So it's not that bad.
No. So you have a bad 5 months.
It's happened before.
Exactly.
All I know is back when we used to elect Americans as president, the world didn't end.
Oh,
let me just point that out.
Now.
You ever think about that?
No.
All right. So yesterday we're talking about this with our great friend Adam Carolla. And we say, Ace, you're a guy who's always got a plan. What are you going to do? This is the last 24 hours on Earth. What's your plan? He said essentially he's going to track down Jessica Alba and have sex with her. That's his plan. I'm going to have sex with Jessica Alba because why not? What are they going to do to me? Right?
Yeah.
And then we started thinking, you know, I don't have that. I haven't thought it out like he has. I don't have a plan. I don't know what I'm going to do once the show's over today. I got to start thinking about that. And I wonder what other people are going to do with their last day on Earth.
Like Bean would change anything.
Yeah, Bean would do nothing. Bean would go.
He'd log on, sit his ass down, make a grilled cheese sandwich, have some slightly soured chocolate milk, and then just go to bed around 7. Nothing's changing for you.
What a waste. Bean's the only person who wouldn't change a thing.
It does sound like a perfect day, though, Ralph, the way you've described it. Kevin, for instance, this won't surprise you. Kevin said, how quickly can I get to Las Vegas? And Kevin, you've got a very specific plan for when you get to Las Vegas, right?
Well, you bet the house. You bet everything.
Sure, why not?
Everything. Because what are they going
to do? Literally bet the house.
They're going to take your house?
No.
But are we working?
World's over.
Are we working under the assumption here that it's really you're really 24 hours away from the end?
Yeah.
That's all you got? Then why would you possibly go to Vegas? What could you win there that would mean anything?
That's what I asked, is what good does it do if you win $20 million? There's nowhere to spend it. You can't do anything with it.
Poon.
You can get poon anywhere. You have to go to Vegas to get poon.
Kevin can get loaded.
You can get loaded anywhere.
Look, that's my plan. What do you want from me? I don't need to defend my plan.
Yes, you do. It's a dumb plan.
That's my plan. What's your plan?
I would hold my daughter.
Wow. Oh, look at this, ladies and gentlemen. How do you feel now, Kevin, about your plan?
That's all I would do. That's the only thing would mean anything for me for the last 24 hours. That's the only thing that would mean anything.
Yeah,
but you'd replace your wife with a much younger, hotter woman,
yeah.
Though, right?
Holding my daughter surrounded by hookers and cocaine. Don't get me wrong. My wife's on her own.
All right, do you think we could get any phone calls from people who really believe tomorrow's it. Because we've been talking about this off the air, and none of us believe it, really.
No, we don't.
Okay.
You know why we don't believe it? Because it's not going to happen. That's why.
Well, there's that.
7,000 years from a fictional event. That's the calendar they're keeping.
Here's a guy who's referenced in this article. His name is Ralph Workman. He is an engineer for Boeing, okay? Not a dumb man. Not a stupid person. He says, people think we're a bunch of crazy coots, but we've got a lot of educated people. Mm-hmm. He talked about lots of people he knows that are very sane, commercial airline pilots, doctors, college professors, mathematicians, who all believe in this interpretation
of the
Bible.
I want to know who those airline pilots are, because I don't want to get on their flight when it happens.
I'm going down.
By the way, if you got on a plane and you flew around the world while the earthquake was happening, you'd be fine, right?
Yeah. But you'd still have to land at some point.
As long as you run out of gas.
And you land someplace.
As long as you could fly for 5 months
king of the world.
Before the fireball hits.
But I think the reason I bring that up about the smart people is, it's not that, I mean, at least according to this guy's interpretation, it's not that everybody who believes this is stupid. It's just that some are more prone to believe in religion.
No.
To the degree that others
are. They're stupid.
This is stupid plus religion.
If you think somehow someone has figured out the exact day 7,000 years later from Noah's Ark, they found the black box recorder from Noah's Ark, and they figured out what day it was sailing on, and this is exactly the 7,000-year anniversary of that day, you are a damn idiot.
By the way, that's how you hope to get people to call? That kind of talk?
This is the second of his predictions, too. His first prediction was 94 or whenever. So now he's doing it again, and then when it doesn't happen tomorrow.
He put a fresh calculator battery in, and now he's got better math. That's all.
So 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number here on the Kevin DeBean Show. If you believe that there is a real possibility of the rapture tomorrow, we want to hear from you. Part two of the question is, well, how are you going to spend your last day? If you really believe that that's happening, what are you going to do today and tomorrow before, I guess they're saying, 3 o'clock West Coast time is when it's likely to occur, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
So how are you going to spend your time?
I got so much stuff on TiVo to watch between now and 3 o'clock. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Wish I'd known.
That's it? You're just going to sit in front of the TV just and
catch
up. I got another episode.
Catch up on The Good Wife. I got to see the finale. I haven't seen that yet.
So I'm very, very interested to see who's going to call here. 1-800-520-1067. Do you believe, and what are your plans? We'll talk to you next right here on the Kevin and Right now, we're talking about the end of the world. One of our listeners, by the way, sent me didn't have a name, but sent me the full-page ad from the USA Today newspaper today, which has got to cost you a pretty penny, by the way, from Harold Camping and the Family Radio people. They answer all your questions as to why the world is going to end and how it's not too late for you to still find Jesus and be saved and go up in the rapture tomorrow and not be left behind in hell on earth. But we're talking to people at 1-800-520-1067 about how they're going to spend their final day.
Yeah, and, we got a couple. I don't know if these are the people that really believe. Caroline?
Caroline.
Hi there.
Hi. These people are whack. I do not believe this.
Wait a minute.
Believe it.
Hold on. They're whack?
No, seriously. It says in the Bible that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. You will not know the hour or time. So how do they know?
Figured it out.
You know? Oh.
They figured it out.
They figured it out. They got a calculator. Look, here's the one thing, and in the interest of full disclosure, I'm not a religious person. But the one thing is that lots of people interpret the Bible in lots of different ways, and it's not uncommon to see people believe very strongly with all their heart in one part of the Bible and completely ignore another part of the Bible.
Harold
Camping and his guys, maybe they're looking at, hey, the rapture is happening and here's why I believe it, and they're able to just kind of discount the part where it says we're never going to be able to know when he's coming.
Well, probably. It just makes me mad because I work with a middle school youth group, and my kids are terrified.
Oh, really?
Like, they're crying. Like, they're terrified, and I'm like...
Do you mock them?
No!
Ha! You're dumb! You're dumb! It's not going to end!
So, Caroline, what are you going to do in case Harold Camping is right and the rapture happens? How are you going to spend today and tomorrow morning?
This is a PSA for Justin Timberlake. You are mine.
Yes. Oh. So you're going to track down JT.
I'll find you.
Okay. All right. She's going to track down Justin Timberlake. Good.
I'm in love with him.
That's a good plan.
Well, good luck. You know, at least you know where he is. He's in New York City. He's supposed to be doing Saturday Night Live tomorrow night. So you got to get yourself on a plane right now, Caroline.
Okay. Right now. I'm going.
Good luck.
Thanks for the call.
By the way, this again is the second time that this guy made the prediction.
He said
that it was going to be in 1994. And it was doomsday, the whole same thing. The rapture, world earthquake, bigger than we could imagine. And they said, oh, wait a minute. I figured it out wrong. It's not 1994. It's 2011.
Now, he is claiming, though, that this is positively the final guess, right? I mean, like, the impression I get is that he's not going to come up with another date after this one. He's got to admit he just can't figure it out.
No, you know what he's going to do? He's going to run away with everyone's money.
That's what he's going to do. Never, a wonderful plan.
Never be heard from again.
Let's try Devin, line 8, here on the Kevin Amin Show. Devin, thanks a lot for calling. You have limited hours before the rapture. It's going to be hell on earth starting tomorrow afternoon. How are you going to spend your final remaining hours?
Well, I'm going to leave my home right now and just go collect all the pot, mushrooms, and acid in Long Beach.
Okay,
and,
good.
You know,
yeah. By the way, there's a lot of that there.
Well, right, exactly. You know, I figure the more you take, the less you know an earthquake is happening. You know?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. So then you're just going to take it all.
Oh, yeah.
And then whether an earthquake happens or not, you won't know. You'll think it's happening. It may not be.
Right.
Well, whatever. You know, if I come out of it alive, then I come out of it alive. If I come out of it and you guys are all on fire, then I'm, you know, whatever.
You can't lose. If you come out of it alive, you will have had the best 24 hours of your life up until that point anyway. So what's the problem, right?
All right. Or if you come out of that much acid, who knows? But, you know.
I think it's a good plan. I think it's a good plan. Let us know how that goes on Monday.
Let's try Jay. I think, you know, everybody's got something different they want to have in mind, but Jay may speak for the majority on how they'd want to spend their last day on Earth. Jay, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Hey, okay, first of all, midgets and hookers for everybody. I say just go out and have a good time. Just cut loose. Everybody party.
So midgets and hookers for everybody. Are there enough midgets to go around for that, though? I don't know.
You know, and if not, do we really want to live in a world that doesn't
matter? Well, that's another good point.
I'm just throwing that out there because, you know,
I'm with you.
If it's the end of days, I say let's, you know what, no one wear clothes tonight at the Schmodcast. Go crazy.
Good.
You know, and just go nuts.
I think that's tomorrow night, but okay. That's good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, I think that's a good place to leave it. Just midgets for everyone, I think, really
midgets
is how
hookers.
You want to spend midgets and hookers, how you want to spend your last day.
That's
I like it
do.
Very much. All right, we need to clear the lines because we have important business to do now. As you know, there's a little concert coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow that is known as the Weenie Roast. We are looking for you if you want to attend. It is sold out. 1-800-520-1067. Who do we want this time around, Kevin?
You're going to need to know lyrics. From Linkin Park.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think.
That's a surprise to me.
I don't remember.
I think
you're
we are looking
need
for
song titles.
From Linkin Park. That's
from
what
Linkin
we're
Park.
Looking for, right? Why do I go to Kevin for information?
Yeah.
Why haven't I learned?
You continue to do it and it makes no sense.
If you're a Linkin Park fan and you know their songs, call us now. 1-800-520-1067. You have a chance to win your tickets next on the Kevin Beach. If you thought the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices went badly, wait till you hear this game. Wait till you hear what we're about to attempt. This could be the most complicated thing we've tried in a long, long time.
How dare you? We're going to pull this off perfectly.
But we got to go for it because it's our last show, so we got to make it as good as possible.
This game, of course, is called...
Welcome to the Weakest Link.
In.
There you go, Mr. Announcer Man. Hi.
Good morning, Kevin Anby.
Name of the game again, please, sir.
The Weakest Link. In.
Okay, so I heard that we were looking for Linkin Park fans that know Linkin Park songs. What are they going to be doing, Mr. Announcer Man?
We will have 3 Linkin Park fans. Each of them must name a song off of the 4 main Linkin Park albums that are...
Go ahead.
The following.
Yes.
That someone there should have written down.
1,000 Suns.
Yes.
Minutes to Midnight.
Yes.
Meteora.
Yes.
Hybrid Theory. It does not include Collision Course or Reanimation. Okay?
Yes.
So we're just looking for the main four.
And the reason for that is those are the remix kind of crazy albums. Those aren't the regular albums with new Linkin Park songs, right? That's why we're narrowing it to the 4 legitimate albums, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Those 3 Linkin Park fans will have a chance to name 1 song off of those 4 CDs. They will have 5 seconds to do so. If they do, and do it correctly, it goes to the next player. We continue through until someone repeats a title or takes longer than 5 seconds. If that happens, you're out. The last remaining Linkin Park fan wins!
Now, how do we think this is going to go? Because usually when we do a new game, it blows.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Announcer Man, let's meet our contestants. Who's going to be playing the game? What Linkin Park fans are going to come up with as many LP song titles as they can?
First up is Carlos. He's a student at Northridge. Go Wombats.
Carlos. Hey, you there?
Hey.
Hey, all right. He's there.
Carlos, is it the Wombats? Is Mr. Announcer Man right about your school team?
No, it's actually the Matadors.
All the Matadors. Yeah. Okay. All right, so you're Linkin Park fan number one. Who's next?
Next up is Seth. He's a financial advisor. Won't matter when the rapture comes.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
And lastly, we have Frank. He's a project manager.
Hey, Frank.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
How's that project coming?
It's going
okay.
Well. All right. Now we're Carlos, Seth, and Frank. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, but we're going to take them in that order.
We are.
Right? Carlos is going to—he's going to give us a Linkin Park song, and then Seth will give us a Linkin Park song. Then Frank will give us a Linkin Park song. Then we'll go back to Carlos, then Seth, then Frank, and just go just like that as long as they last until they screw up, and then they're out of the game. And
correct.
Then the last fan standing, you're the one who wins the tickets. Am I right?
Yep.
No repeats, and you can't take longer than 5 seconds to answer.
All right. And you can't give a wrong answer. You can't name a song that's, for instance, not on one of those four Linkin Park albums, too. So there's a bunch of ways you can screw it up, but if you just keep coming up with titles, you'll be in the game until you win. All right. Now, do we have a timer ready to go here?
We do.
All right. Good luck, contestants. Good luck, Mr. Announcer Man. Let's play the game.
Carlos, you're first. Go.
Okay, In the End, Faint, Waiting for the End, and The Catalyst.
Okay, you just named a song. Just one song is all we need for you.
All right, let's start over. Let's go back and start over.
Let's describe the game again.
Take two. Mr. Announcer Man, what happened?
Carlos will name one song off of those four CDs.
Thought we made that clear.
Then Seth will name one song. Then Frank will name one song. We'll continue round robin until one of them answers incorrectly, repeats a title, or can't come up with a song name.
Take two.
All right. Here we go. Now we're starting with Carlos, and we're looking for a single song title. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
All right. In the End.
Okay.
There he goes. That was one.
Seth?
Numb.
All right.
The Catalyst.
Carlos?
Yes.
Back to you.
Oh, one step closer.
Ooh, very close. All right, Seth?
Point of authority.
All right, whoever's talking, quit talking. Just give us song titles. Frank, you're up.
They're looking for some help. Frank?
The Messenger.
Jacker in the Hall.
Carlos!
Wait, what did he say?
What did he just say? What are you talking about, Carlos?
Hold on. Faint.
Carlos is talking to somebody else. That's
don't
why this game
don't talk to
is...
anyone!
We forgot to mention that point.
Okay, Faint.
Okay,
go.
Good. Okay. We're at Seth. Go.
Pushing Me Away.
Okay. Frank? Oh, you already answered. Okay. Sorry. Carlos?
Breaking the Habit.
All right. Seth?
Runaway.
Frank?
Burning in the Skies.
Carlos?
Numb.
Numb.
Already
wrong,
said
wrong.
It.
Already said
Somebody
it.
Already said
yeah,
it.
Numb's already been said. Carlos is out.
Good.
But we hated Carlos anyway.
Frankly, Carlos was in seven different conversations, so I'm
yes,
glad to see him go.
All right, so now it's down to Seth and Frank. Same rules apply. We are up to Seth as we... what's the name of the game again, Mr. Announcer Man? I'm sorry.
The Weakest Link!
In.
Yeah. All right, Seth, good luck. Keep going.
Shadow of the Day. When They Come for Me.
Seth?
Cure for the Itch.
Wait, what? What is
wait,
Cure
Seth, what was yours?
Cure for the Itch.
Okay.
Robot Boy. Forgotten.
Hey, can't get the clock started. All right. Seth.
Blackout.
Frank. Blackout. Seth.
With You.
Woo!
Wow!
That was close. Just under the wire. Okay.
Frank.
Wisdom, Justice, and Love.
Seth.
Lying From You. Points of Authority.
Clock's getting a workout.
Already Seth? Said, yeah.
Points of Authority already said?
Yep.
So Frank loses two.
Seth!
Which means Seth is
over. Oh, yes!
Seth, you are not the weakest link!
Yes!
And thank you for playing the game.
You are the weakest link.
And
goodbye.
I missed the toplessmoviereviews.com segment. That's what I missed.
Don't get me started.
That was a good segment.
What?
When can we get them to come in and start reviewing movies for us?
I get this email. What's the website for the topless movie reviews? Thank you. You rock, Randy. It's let me give you the website. It's www.toplessmoviereviews.com. F you, you lazy mother effer. Why don't you try toplessmoviereviews.com before you email me, you son of a bitch.com. That's
is that
the website.
It? Oh, yeah. I didn't realize
that's
so.
The website.
Seems
go check
long.
That out. It is a little long, but it's well worth it.
Okay.
Or you people, just go to fuprick.com.
People don't like to use Google for some reason. They'd rather have somebody send them a link, I think. Because this happens all the time. Like when we did the Linkin Park string quartets the other day. I can't tell you how many emails I got from people who said, how can I find a Linkin Park string quartet album? And I thought, I don't know, type the words Linkin Park string quartet into Google. That's how.
Take a shot. It's a lot quicker than writing the email and sending it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Especially if
yes,
you have the entire
if you took Topless Movie Reviews, I said, you know what? Before I ask anybody, I'm going to put a .com on the end of that and just see what happens. That's what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll get lucky.
Well, apparently you did crash the site earlier, Ralph, when you brought it up. So
yeah.
They've been having some trouble this morning, apparently.
Well, maybe Sophie D will have to make it up to me since I've sent so much business her way.
Sure.
Hi, guys. So I'm here to rate Thor.
Uh-huh.
I went to go and see it last night, good. And I thought it was, like, really good.
Oh, good.
So it was really good.
Best review I've ever seen of that movie.
Really good. And there was fighting, and there was romance, and it was really good, and I was surprised, and my nipples are hard.
I think I love her.
Oh, the things I would do to Sophie D before the rapture. I'd make her see God. You know what I'm saying, fellas? Are you with me, boys?
I don't understand.
Who's out there? Thank you so much. All right.
A false start for the kids.
It was. The kids are getting raptured. Hey, if you like Vin Diesel as a Navy SEAL turned babysitter in The Pacifier,
if you didn't?
You're going to love his new movie, The Machine. Daily Variety announces that Vin is going to play a human like machine, an android, created by the Pentagon, but then is buried, only to be discovered 20 years later by a small child who befriends him, and they start a very special friendship. It's a boy and his robot.
Okay.
Aww. Doesn't that just make you want to just crap your pants and take a nap?
And that casting has been
that's
is that finalized?
Confirmed. That is a done deal.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm.
Finn wants to show his tender side.
Sure.
Movie remakes in the news. Is it time for another Carrie? Those of you
probably.
Who have seen it know how terrifying it is. The story based on the Stephen King novel about the young outcast, the girl who doesn't fit in high school, and what happens at her prom. Oh, did I forget to mention? She can move things with her mind! I still remember seeing that movie for the first time. And Carrie, played by Sissy Spacek, standing there on the stage, and they make her prom queen just to F with her.
Mm.
And then they dump a bucket of pig's blood on her head to embarrass her. Things go downhill after that.
Don't do that to crazy people.
Don't do that to crazy people who have telekinesis.
Yeah.
You will pay the price, John Travolta. That's right. I'm talking to you.
It's been a while, though. That's an old movie,
yeah,
right?
It is an old movie. Yeah. And it is an ageless theme. Outcasts in high school who feel like they don't fit in and how sure. How they wreak revenge on the popular kids. So I think, certainly, it could be remade. But it had to have music. It had to be gleeful. Carry things about feeling pig's blood on her head. And this I can't get over the story. It's making me angry and angrier the more I read it. This Katy Perry. It's Katy Perry. I think I've been talking about it all morning.
Yeah.
Katy Perry, who I used to like until I read her 45-page contract writer.
All right. Do you have to fulfill that?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But it's the demands of a douchebag. That's what 45 pages of douchebaggery is what that is.
And it's the name of my new book. I hope you all pick it up.
45 pages of douchebaggery.
One word per page.
It puts a bad taste in your mouth. It really does. Because it makes her sound like a diva. She's demanding all kinds of crap that really is just meaningless. And she's asking for it just because she can. And it just smacks of self-importance.
But what about boobs?
She's got those, yes.
All right.
But I liked it better when I just looked at those and didn't know the dark, ugly innards that was going on there before I pulled back the curtain.
What kind of stuff is she asking for?
Well, if you can go to thesmokinggun.com is the website you can check this out by. And if you write me and say, well, how do I find The Smoking Gun in an email, I'll come to your house. I'm not kidding. I'll F you up. TheSmokingGun.com has some of the pages of her writer on display there. For example, her dressing room must be hung with white and pink drapery. That's got to be hung inside her dressing room when she shows up to the venue.
Okay.
She's not moving in, right? Let me double check it. This isn't an apartment. She's not going to live there. She's going to change her outfit and then go on stage and sing and then go home, right? That's what the dressing room is for.
Yeah, you go to the venue, you do a sound check, you have a little lunch, and you get dressed and do the show, right? Okay. That's the extent of it.
My bad, because she's also asking for a florist to provide white and purple hydrangeas, pink and white roses, and peonies in her dressing room. If those flowers are not available, Katie will settle for white orchids. But under no circumstances are there to be any carnations.
See, that's why I would get fired, because I would read that and go... Only
nothing but carnations. It'd be like a punk scene. Just open up the door and just carnations would come billowing out of the room, falling
the
on her.
It'd be awesome.
There are 22 separate instructions for whoever her driver is to and from the venue.
22 different things.
A list of 22 things that driver must do, including don't look in the rearview mirror at her.
Oh, my God.
When she's in the back seat. Do not initiate any conversation with Katie, her guests, and or her fans who are outside the car.
Oh, so the driver can't even talk to the fans outside.
No.
Okay.
The driver's window must be one half down at all times.
Okay.
He must stay behind the wheel. He cannot touch her baggage.
Is that code?
I don't know. Maybe it is. I'd like to touch your bags. The list goes on and on and on. And the most upsetting part, if I was a Katy Perry fan, this would bother me the most, I think. Katie reserves the right... demands the right to withhold a block of tickets from any and all concerts that she gives so that she can give them to a secondary market reseller like StubHub or some other scalper, sell them at an increased price over the face value of the tickets, and then keep those profits for herself.
That is a real slap in the face of her fans who have to then pay the inflated price in order to even get in to see the show.
Yeah. Doesn't that suck?
Yeah, it really does.
So, anyway, there you go. Here's your Katy Perry update. Not quite as pretty as she was yesterday. That's all I'm saying.
How did she become Mariah Carey so fast, Rob?
I don't know. Because she married Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That's why. He's a Time Lord. He is. I've seen his scarf. Today's celebrity birthdays. Joe Cocker, 67 years old today. Cher turns 65. Jane Wiedlin of the Go-Go's turns 53. Bronson Pinchot turns 52. Timothy Oliphant. A very talented actor who was the movie The Hitman. Remember The Hitman, Kevin?
Yeah,
I think
I
you were
it.
The only one.
Yes.
You and I were the only ones who saw that, I think, but we really enjoyed it.
That was the girl who had the tattoo on her face and still looked hot.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
He's 43 years old today. Busta Rhymes is 39. We have a little Busta we saw right now. And you know every time Busta must be holding a fort, my spot, I'll be shutting it down. The way we put it on, coming through like a steamroll on me and dress. Ain't no effing around. Come on. Yeah, what up? Me and my team got a link because you know we stay chopping it up. And when we get up in the club, on, I'm up to the bar, I'll be knocking it up. And we get a little high, we get a little. Oh, I'm exhausted just listening to him.
I always get the feeling like this might be the last rap song he's ever going to rap on, so he has to use every word he knows. Slow it down.
Tomorrow he might be right.
That's true.
The rapture. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Everybody's talking about the end of the world tomorrow. It's predicted by that biblically sound...
crazy...
minister in Oakland. The Guardian newspaper in Britain was asking their readers the same thing we were talking to our listeners about earlier, which is, what are you going to do if it's the end of the world? What's your plan? What's going to happen? Somebody answered, if my luck is anything to go by, win the lottery. So that is bad timing. And earlier, Ralph was saying, hey, why are we playing the songs that we're playing today? Why don't we have the All Rapture playlist? Where's It's the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M.? Where's a whole bunch of other songs that we should be putting together for a playlist?
Because It's the End of the World as We Know It is the best and only song, and then from there it just goes down.
Well, that shows
the
what you know.
Songs.
That shows what you know. Our friend Bob Dylan is on the phone. As you know, Bob is the host of the Theme Time Radio Hour on Sirius Satellite Radio, and that's exactly what he does every week, is come up with playlists for special occasions. Hey, Bob, how are you, man?
Yeah, getting the time.
To you, too.
I think
whatever you said, right back at you,
got
pal.
Your time, lemonade tea hour.
It's not the lemonade tea hour. It's just you just pick a theme.
Theme time radio.
We haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah,
it's just theme time.
Theme time radio. Right. We're gonna put on the theme, and then there's some songs about it. Songs behind the times. It's about the story.
Right. Now, most of the time, your themes are a little bit of a stretch. It's like songs about dogs or something like that. But this is one. You have a playlist that actually a lot of people might be wanting to hear about because it's such a significant world event. You're doing a playlist for songs about the end of the world.
End of the world. Don't take your life. Don't get a spin on Valentine.
On Valentine's?
No.
That's what I thought he said.
You're going to Valentine's.
You got to find the time?
Find the time?
Okay, whatever. All right.
All right, what are you going to be playing on this week's show, Bob?
This is you can't hit that. Skeeter Davis.
Don't they know it's the end of the world?
See what I'm saying, B?
Oh.
Crappy songs.
Now, Bob, you don't sing along on the radio with the music that you play, do you?
Bob, you don't sing with the song on the radio,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, see, look, everybody loves to hear Bob sing.
Yeah.
Have a new song. Everybody has a good time. But you
will talk about
everyone.
All right.
Yeah. What are you doing there? What's
go
happening?
Bob. The engine guitar.
Wow, you're on fire today.
Yeah. Oh, here's Blue Eyes the Coat. Come on, baby,
don't be the leader. Take my hand, don't be the leader. Sure.
Hey, Bob, is it bad?
Would you consider it bad that you singing along makes me not understand the lyrics?
What?
Yeah.
Don't hear me, huh?
What?
No.
Don't.
Yeah.
Near.
Yeah.
Here.
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 Fear.
Fear.
The Reaper. Don't fear the Reaper. Okay. But I'm saying I could get that from the song if you weren't singing.
This is R.E.M.
There it is. All right. You sound awfully happy for a man who's going to die tomorrow.
Because I'm born again.
Oh, so you're fine. You're fine. You're raptured.
Rapture.
You're being
okay.
Raptured. Rapture.
What a segue, ladies and gentlemen.
That was sweet.
He's a pro.
Oh, I hope he raps.
Oh, yeah. You ready?
Yep.
Let him go.
I can rap if that's all.
Okay, Bob. Oh, we got it.
You think Bob will be able to be understood when he goes up to heaven?
Oh, that's a good point.
Hey, Bob.
Okay, Bob.
We got to go.
We got it. Are you done? All right, we don't need to.
All right, we'll talk to you next time, Bob.
All right, well, we'll see you in heaven, Bob.
All right.
I guess this is it. I mean, when I say this is it, I mean this is it. The final Ralph Garman and Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show in the event of the Rapture this weekend.
Which isn't going to happen, so...
But if it did.
Right, but it isn't.
If it were to happen, this would be the end. Because we're not coming in Monday if we're in hell, right?
What if the earth is just in disarray and there's earthquakes and fire and damnation and stuff, but we're not all dead? Do we have to come in then on Monday?
Well, I don't know how to
do like a post-apocalyptic show?
Like
a recap of the apocalypse?
No, then you just go off the grid. You know?
Yeah, you pretend that you were Christian and that you were saved.
Go off the grid.
Yeah, who's going to buy that?
Start
from
living
us
in the woods.
Oh, yeah, those guys were lifted up. Uh-huh, sure.
By the way, I have heard, and this is a great prank you and your friends could do, I have heard that there are people, many of them around the world, who plan to take a set of clothes and lay it out on their front yard as if they were out mowing the lawn and they were taken.
Oh, that's funny.
Got evaporated up to God.
Yep. Yeah. And you drive on by, you see what's left of your friend.
That'd be awesome. A lot of people upset we didn't have our final Showbiz Beat done by Sophie D.
Oh, I hear that.
It was very popular over at toplessmoviereviews.com.
What's the website for that, Ralph?
Don't you. You'll see your maker sooner than tomorrow if you start that crap with me, young man.
Also want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night, if we are all still here, doing Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith up at the Universal City Walks, John Lovitz Comedy Club. You can come and join us 10 p.m. tomorrow night for all the latest and greatest in showbiz news and alcohol and marijuana. That's for us, not for you. Oh, that's for you. Yeah.
Well, you're serving it.
No.
Menu.
Kevin likes to smoke. I like to drink. And together, that's a pretty good thing. Kirstie Alley's quite the hit on Dancing with the Stars. They're saying now she will be the one to take away the coveted mirror ball.
Is that it? Is that all you get is a mirror ball?
Yeah, I think you get a big check, too.
Oh, all right.
More importantly, you get a boost to your career.
Yeah. Right.
But Kirsty says it should be called Mind Effing with the Stars. Said it's so difficult backstage. The competition is so cutthroat. Everyone is so intense. It's actually been a very trying experience for her. So far, she's lost like 50 pounds, by the way, this experience. So she better keep on dancing. That's all I'm saying.
This show better never end.
You better do another season, and then maybe you'll be in some kind of shape. And then just keep dancing after that, because we know how you yo-yo.
Yeah, a long way to go. What was her? What was the status of Kirstie Alley's career before she got on board? I wasn't really tracking with her. Was she doing anything, Ralph?
Last thing I remember her having done was a reality show called Fat Actress, I guess, about her trying to get back, and that didn't go very well.
Right. So then kind of nothing.
Yeah.
I wonder if now people will, you know, all over Hollywood, people will go, hey, she's a great personality, and we like her, and let's consider her for films and TV shows.
Look who's talking more again.
Right.
The third.
We are waiting for that sequel.
Yes, Talking Babies. They're so funny. Second only to Talking Animals, really.
That's true.
And I know Dave is the king of the bad animal videos.
Don't do it.
Dave's Cute Corner, right?
Cute Corner, where he loves animal videos.
Don't add to it, Ralph.
But have you seen the talking dog video about the guy telling the dog what's in the meat drawer in the refrigerator?
Yeah, is that Coke? Where he taunts the dog?
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, you know that, the meat drawer? Yeah. You know what I got in there? I got, like, sausage. You know the maple sausage? Yeah, maple. And the dog's, like, just moving in that so slightly, and they've dubbed in his voice, and it just makes me laugh out loud every time I see it.
That's funny, but don't tell Dave.
Is that up? Do we have that up on the Tumbleweed Corner?
I think maybe it may be in the next Tumbleweed Corner.
We got to put that up on the Tumbleweed Corner, because that is good times. He's like, yeah, that bacon? Yeah. I ate it. No! And he's, like, the yawning dog. It's very funny. Probably better to look at than to have me describe on the radio, but
probably the same.
My intentions were pure. Congratulations to the four judges of NBC's The Voice. CeeLo Green, Christina Aguilera, Adam Levine, and Blake Shelton will all be back for the next season of The Voice, even though this one isn't quite over.
Are they going to move CeeLo Green's button a little closer to him?
Here's the thing about CeeLo. I think he is the biggest midget that ever lived.
Yes.
That's my guess.
He's the black Wee Man.
He's got arms like a pterodactyl.
Yeah, they're flippers, sort
of. He doesn't have a lot of range.
Right.
He looks to be mostly torso with very small limbs.
Hmm.
Remember when Violet Beauregard ate the gum in Willy Wonka and became the giant blueberry?
Sure.
That's what CeeLo looks like to me. Oh, and it would be a blackberry, but still. He looks like he's just got the stunted limbs.
Having said that, I like his music.
I love his music.
No problem.
But he's an oddly shaped man.
He really is. They need to bring a button closer that he can maybe
or have something just like
on.
Near his chin. He can just lean against like Stephen Hawking or something. Because I think eventually he's going to just be motionless.
Yes, Mug. You've been inching towards the microphone for 3 minutes now, trying to say something.
It's going to be good.
I wanted to add that Kevin's head looks shrunken compared to CeeLo's.
All right, that was good.
That was the 4 minute working towards the microphone comment.
Back the F up.
Oh, man. Thank God it's Friday.
I hear you. Is this good news for our pal Carson Daly as well, Ralph? Have we heard anything about that? I assume he's sticking with the show, right?
Yeah, he's doing well, and the show's a massive hit for NBC, so congratulations.
Finally, something's taking Glee down. We couldn't do it, but The Voice may be doing it.
Maybe. Congratulations to Nikki Taylor, former supermodel. She is pregnant with baby number 4.
Dude.
Her and her husband, Bernie Lamar, celebrating the couple's second child. They have a 2-year-old daughter named Seal. And Nikki already has a set of 16-year-old twins named Hunter and Jake from a previous marriage. So this will be her 4th kid. Now, Nikki was the one on Celebrity Apprentice who got booted, right?
That's correct.
I think so, yeah.
She looks great.
And she was the one who had that tragic, tragic car accident that almost killed her and was in years of therapy and rehab afterwards.
I thought she was the tsunami model.
No, that's Petra Nemkova.
Oh. First of all,
from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh. First of all, nobody is a tsunami
model. Yeah, no, she wore a tsunami on the runway.
Yeah, Nikki's she's a good deal.
I thought Nikki Taylor's sister had the accident.
No, it was Nikki.
Oh, really?
It was Nikki, yeah.
But her sister's also a model, right? Nikki Taylor's sister?
I could listen to this all day.
I don't know
Elizabeth?
About that.
Wasn't Elizabeth her sister?
That I don't know about. No. Yeah, that's not so.
Come on, people. Stay with me.
Let's move on. And we don't have a lot of facts on this
program. Sad news. Macho Man Randy Savage has passed away. We just learned from TMZ.com. Apparently, he had a heart attack behind the wheel of an automobile.
Oh, ooh, wow. God.
And then died in the resulting crash in Florida. Oh. So we just found out. So that's sad news for wrestling fans. Hulkster, you were a co-worker and a friend of Macho Man Randy Savage. Any thoughts on Randy with his passing?
None at all, brother.
None?
No thoughts.
You son of a bitch.
No thoughts.
You son of a bitch.
No thoughts.
Now he's got no thoughts.
Yeah, right. I guess he doesn't like to stay too current.
Should have eaten more fruit.
Yeah. And Jeff Conaway from Grease and Taxi, still hospitalized for an overdose on pain medication, is much worse than we originally were led to believe this week when he went to the hospital. His manager is saying that he is deep in a coma and they are not expecting any sort of recovery. So I'm sure we'll be hearing hearing about Mr. Conaway's passing sometime soon as well. Just want to leave you on that note as we head into the weekend.
Right.
You saved the best for last.
Friday, you got to get down on Friday.
Today's celebrity birthday is Joe Cocker, 67 years old today. Singer-actress Cher is 65. Jane Whelan of the Go-Go's is 53. Bronson Pinchot, not only Balky from Perfect Strangers, but also Serge from the Beverly Hills Cop movies. He's 52. Timothy Oliphant is 43. And Busta Rhymes is 39 years old. Today, let's go out with a little Busta, shall we?
And you know every time Busta bust me, holding the fort, one spot, y'all be shutting it down, and we be putting on, coming through like a steamroller, me and Dre, ain't no effing around, come on. Yeah, what up, me and my team got a link, cause you know we stay chopping it up, and when we get up in the club, oh, I'm up over to the bar, now we knocking it up, and we get a little high, and we get a little drunk, and we get a little drunk, come on. Yeah, give me gas, they wanna bang this out your trunk, come on.
How many takes?
Who's in the neighborhood?
How many takes would it take for me to accomplish that?
All the takes. As many, you have to take takes from other people in order to complete all the takes it would take.
Awesome. I'd have to do a word by word.
And then we just have editors all together. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. All new program Monday morning.
Nope.
We're still here?
Nope.
Got the Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. So come back, won't you?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Next stop's the Nut Hut.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Boston.
Pancake.
Roll another one.
This is violent and offensive.
Just like the other one.
What you talking about, Wallace?
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
I need another hit.
Funky and juicy is the funk is the rhythm and all that jazz and the soul of the music and all that stuff. But you gotta be lubricated now, almost like snot, you know what I mean?
Roll another one.
Clearly he didn't bring gum for everyone.
Just like the other one.
You're talking out of your ass, dummy.
This one seems to be about me.
Looks like a sandwich, and I'll put it in my mouth.
Are you gay?
Just pass it around.
I don't know. Maybe.
If I just went away right now, would that be the best gift that I could give you?
Yes, please, please go away and stop using that weird slow voice.
By the power vested in me, I now pronounce you canceled.
Congratulations, universe. You win.
But he's right. It's over.
Yeah! Are you kidding me? And scene!